much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, it's broadcast time again. We're all set to hold up our mad musical powwow.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working on my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together, making sparks ignite, and the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
And now,
that happened.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, we got the whole song. I love it.
That was awesome.
What's better than Anchorman? Come on.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:35.
It is, in fact, and we're playing the Black Keys right before that. We're going to be talking much more about the Black Keys today. Did you peruse any of those Grammy nominations?
I did not, no.
It's going to blow your mind.
Because it's good for us?
You've never seen more K-Rock acts nominated for Grammys.
What? You're kidding.
Almost
15 years since that's happened.
Almost all the major categories are just packed with Mumford & Sons and with Jack White and with Fun and with the Lumineers and with M83 and with Muse.
What?
It's insane. It's crazy. The world's turned upside down today.
I didn't even know.
What the hell's going on?
I didn't mean because I was taking for granted it was going to be the same as other years where we score in a couple categories and that's it.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
How about that?
It was pretty darn crazy, I'll tell you. I mean, yeah, of course, you know, Call Me Maybe is still nominated for Song of the Year, as it should
sure.
be. But I'm saying there's lots of stuff there to be happy about for some of the people that we know and love. So, yeah, we'll talk about that coming up here later on today's Kevin and Bean Show, because they were just announced last night. But let me start with this story. We take you to France now, the beautiful village of Bordeaux. I've not been there. Have you guys been to Bordeaux in France?
No. Nope.
Southwestern France, apparently it's gorgeous down there. There's a local 18th century chateau that was completely bulldozed recently by mistake.
By mistake?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Like a Russian surgery when they take off the wrong leg or something?
A Russian businessman named Dmitry Stroskin recently bought the mansion, and he arranged with a construction company to do some renovations on the house, which, by the way, is 140,000 square feet.
Holy crap.
They were supposed to do some renovations on the mansion, but they were also supposed to tear down a small outbuilding on the same estate.
Uh-oh.
And somehow they got the order mixed up, and they tore down the house and left the shack.
But the shack is looking good now because of the upgrades.
Yeah, they haven't renovated the shack, but apparently everyone in town is just mortified. I mean, this thing has been there since the 1700s. It's one of the most,
man.
You know, it's like the pride and joy of this little town. It's the place that everybody rents for their weddings. You know, it holds hundreds of people. It's got the sweeping stone staircase. Nothing but rubble. And he bought it in part because he fell in love with it and wanted to restore it to its former glory. You know, he was going to put all sorts of money into it to make it, you know, as beautiful as the day it was built. And now it's just gone. Can you imagine? We talk about whoopsies at work.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that guy who says, oh, I'm sorry, I read that wrong.
You get that whole flush feeling that comes over yourself like, oh, man, what did I do?
But this is not, I parked in the wrong
right.
parking space. This is, I tore down something that's worth millions of dollars by accident. So anyway, so Mr. Stroskin says that he plans to try to build an exact replica of the house he lost on the site. So I don't know who's going to be paying for that, or there's no word here of lawsuits, but I can't imagine that you just say, ah, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
imagine
no
this
biggie.
Is one of those.
You can sue, but I'm guessing that contractor doesn't have the money to cover
probably,
anywhere
yeah.
near.
Yeah, tearing down a 140,000 square foot house.
Jeez.
That was built in the 1700s.
So good time.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Your ideas are trash. Keep them out of this room.
Right.
I don't want to hear them.
Okay. W. Cabal Bell, comedian, will be in the studio today. Speaking of in the studio, we've got Imagine Dragons.
Oh,
wow.
They're
cool.
Playing the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend. And we're going to have them in the studio today. We have Dr. Drew on the program.
Mm-hmm.
We have Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 27.
There it is.
We have the top 10 internet roundup of the year of 2012. We have Randall Roberts from the LA Times. He's a music critic talking about the Grammy nominations from last night.
Okay.
We have Danny Way, who has done a documentary called Waiting for Lightning.
These are all the guests for the rest of the year.
No, that's all
now,
today.
Right? This can't all be in one show. We're only on till 10.
All today.
But the rest will be just empty days.
That's correct. Yeah, the rest is going to suck. So just
really revel in today.
Enjoy today while you have it. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Woo!
What you talking about?
Talking about showbiz, baby. Talking about Janelle Evans, Teen Mom. Star, of course, of not only 16 and Pregnant on MTV in 2010, she was also on Teen Mom and Teen Mom 3. Janelle
quite
Evans,
the track record.
Janelle Evans, what a gal.
Now what?
Finally tied the knot with her boyfriend, Courtland Rogers, in a North Carolina courthouse. Now I'm sure everything now is going to be fine. Now I'm sure she'll make excellent choices, and her life will be happily ever after. Because after all, Courtland and Janelle have been dating for 3 months.
Well, they put the time in.
Dude.
So she knows what she's getting herself into, and she's obviously making another excellent choice for herself and her child.
They should make a new show. It's just called Bad Choices.
Yes.
This feature was follow people around.
I have everyone that's ever been on MTV star.
Including you, Dr. Drew.
That's right. Worst offender of them all. Tragic news out of Australia. This makes me sick.
Wow.
Two wacky morning radio Australian DJs called the hospital where Kate Middleton was. She's had some nausea problems with her new pregnancy.
Right.
And pretended to be Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles.
Well, that's a hoax.
Checking on the quality of care and the state of health of Kate, and said they wanted to get through to the doctor who was treating her. And the nurse who answered the phone put them through.
Why would anyone do that?
The idea of someone on radio impersonating someone else.
It's just irresponsible.
Calling someone, pretending to be someone else, and especially with a major international story like this this pregnancy, just makes me sick to my stomach.
That's irresponsible. Not good.
That's just screwing. That's screwing with authority is what that
and
is.
And I am embarrassed to be part of this profession.
As
this
am
morning.
I.
It's tragic. Lady! Jessica Simpson has a lot on her plate right now. She's got an infant, and she's pregnant again, you know.
Has that been confirmed, or are we just wondering why she's not losing any more weight?
Official. But by all reports so far, that's what the deal is.
That why she's still fat?
Well, she's never going to lose that weight now.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Just give that money back to Weight Watchers. Just return that check. But her mom apparently isn't coping that well either. Tina Simpson, wife of manager dad Joe Simpson, she has been hitting the bottle since calling it quits with her husband of 34 years, say friends and family. Part of it may have to do with the rumors swirling around Joe Simpson that he has a fondness for younger men. Regardless, Tina feels like she's on the outs. Everyone's got their stuff going on, and there she is, just her and her vodka. Vodka's your friend.
It is.
When no one else will be there for you, you can always turn to vodka. So, Jessica apparently having a hard time because she feels bad for mom, but she's got her own stuff to deal with, you know?
Public restrooms can often be a hangout for the homosexual.
That's true. That's maybe she should go there and find a new husband. And while we're talking about people partying too much, Russell Crowe is cheesing off Robert De Niro.
Whoa. You don't want to make him mad.
No.
A little bit you do. Robert De Niro owns a hotel called the Greenwich Hotel in New York, and Russell apparently has been staying there, an extended stay. Word is, Russell likes to hang out in the courtyard of that hotel, jam on the guitar, get loaded, and smoke pot.
All right.
Unfortunately, the impromptu concerts aren't going over too well with the other guests in the hotel and with owner Robert De Niro, so we'll have to wait and see how that comes to a head. But I don't think you want to make Russell Crowe angry either.
No.
Especially if he's got a load on and he's holding a guitar.
Yeah. And a phone.
And he's fat as well.
Yeah, he's a big boy. This makes me happy. Kathy Lee Gifford is sad.
Just in time for the holidays.
Yeah. She wrote a Broadway musical called Scandalous, The Life and Times of Amy Semple McPherson. She wrote the book and the lyrics for the show about a 1920s female evangelist who had wicked, wicked ways. It's closing after just 3 weeks on Broadway.
Oh, ouch.
Surprise it open.
Huge failure.
Wow.
So that makes me happy.
And she put years into that.
Yeah. And while we're talking about Broadway, this shocked me. A new musical is headed to Broadway. It's starting in the West End, opened last night at London's Adelphi Theater. It is a musical based on the movie The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston.
That had a lot of music in it, didn't it?
Nope.
I had one big
she
hit
sang
song.
And stuff? Oh.
Yeah, no, that, I do remember hearing
I Will Always
about
Love
this.
You. She had that was the big smash hit from that. I think she did perform another song as the singer, the superstar in that movie.
What's the rush?
Apparently every movie now has been dictated from the vice president of show business that every film must be turned into a Broadway musical.
All
now,
right. So.
They say it's pretty good, and it'll be heading to Broadway sometime soon. As will this next project. The people who brought you American Idol, Fear Factor, Extreme Makeover, have a new reality show for you. Babes on a Bus. That's right, Babes on a Bus.
Babes on a Bus.
10 single women will get on a bus to look for love in various small towns around the United States. At each stop, the women will be introduced to the town's bachelors who will try to impress them.
That's a terrible idea.
Each week, the women can choose to stay on the bus and go to the next town or stay behind with the new man that they've met
this
in town.
This might almost be bad enough to watch.
It's the worst idea.
That's the worst
heard.
Idea ever.
This is a big budget version of that one that they did on the baggage carousel at the airport.
That's right, yeah.
Wow. Babes on a Bus.
Yes. I got excited for it. I thought it was a TV version of Bang Bus, which is a film series that I've rented often.
Oh, the adult thing.
But
apparently. Not the same.
It's not the same thing. Today's celebrity birthday is guitarist for R.E.M. Peter Buck is 56 years old today. Drummer Dave Lovering of the Pixies is 51. And Judd Apatow.
Oh, who knew?
Had we known yesterday, we could have wished him a happy birthday. He celebrates his 45th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our old friend Petros Papadakis, a former USC Trojan himself, is going to comment on the latest suspension in the NFL. I think it was the 9th guy who's been suspended for using Adderall in the NFL yesterday. This is just turning into an epidemic in that league. So we'll talk about why players are using that and how it helps them coming up in a few minutes. We'll also talk about the Grammy nominations from last night. Danny Way on the program next hour. And Ralph recaps Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 27 from the great R. Kelly. It's all on the way.
We have been taking a look at top 10s of the year, and it's time to talk about the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bain's Internet Roundup.
Go to KevinandBain.com. You can see the best 10, the top 10 videos of the year from 2012. There's actually more than 10 because Kate Upton is in the list, and we couldn't decide between the three or four of hers that we put up.
So that's all like one?
So they're all a tie. We just put all those up, including Kate Upton does Cat Daddy.
Cat Daddy.
Take it away, Kate. All right.
That's it? That's all you guys did?
She does a pretty good little dance. I don't know if you've seen that video or not, but it's worth it.
I would like to say that it is that's my number one video of the whole year. Look, there are a lot of videos that we talked about on the Internet Roundup in 2012. The Cat Daddy dance is the greatest one of all,
right? It's the greatest one of all time.
It's the one that rules them all.
Yeah. Of all time, though. I'm saying best thing on the internet ever.
It might be. I think it might be, yeah.
Hot Girls Have Problems, too, is another one of the top 10. These two girls in their limo singing about their troubles.
Oh, yeah. Hot girls, we have problems, too. We're just like you. Except we're hot.
See, this is why recaps are great. This is why the end of the year comes around. You go, oh, this is fun. Because I had completely already forgotten about Hot Girls Have Problems, too. It didn't have the staying power of some of the other videos, but it was awesome at the time, and it was kind of fun to revisit.
The next one is a highway prank. And again, we're talking about the top 10 Internet Roundup videos. You can go to KevinandBean.com. The highway prank, this is really bizarre because there's a tow truck towing a giant semi. And it's facing backwards. And the guy's going to scare his wife. His wife is sleeping in the seat next to him. He's driving behind the semi that looks like it's coming right at them. So he wakes her up and says, wake up! We're about to get killed! And she screams.
So evil.
And
the kids are in the back.
They are. And they love it, though. But listen to him after she wakes up, his explanation of why it is he decided this needed to be done.
Okay, so there's a truck getting towed. And it looks like it's coming at us. And my wife's asleep. So we're going to see if we can scare her.
Babe, wake up. There's a truck coming.
That was...
I'm sorry. It was funny.
I'm sorry. It was funny.
Now, when that video came out and we discussed it at the time, Lisa, you determined dick move, right? Like never, ever, ever do that to someone?
Never.
Oh, please.
Even though they're only
terrified for like 3 seconds.
No.
You don't even see the comedy afterwards.
Oh, no. Lisa, that's fair game.
No.
Oh, please.
I think I'm going to die. That's not a prank.
Well, there's no real danger. That's You're not going to die.
Yeah, but I thought I had that.
It's a good thing I'm not married to you.
It is, isn't it?
Really good for Lisa.
How many times have you thought that?
Every day.
All right, so that's the highway prank. Then we got the creepiest Justin Bieber fan. This is the girl with the buggy eyes.
Oh, right.
She's a strange, strange one. And she's doing her cover of If I Was Your Boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And she says, If I Was Your Girlfriend.
If I was your girlfriend, I'd never let you leave. Without a small recording device taped under your sleeve.
It was really well done, but the scary eyes are what sold it for me. I mean, you look at her and you go, I don't want any part of that.
She's a very convincing stalker.
Yes.
I'm not sure she's acting.
Top 10 Internet Roundup videos of the year. Meet Sweet Brown. You remember this woman? She's the woman that was interviewed after there was a fire in
an
apartment complex or something. And she's one of these people, like, what was the guy's name last year, the year before? Antoine Dodson, yeah.
Dodson, yeah. She's that kind of guy.
She is that kind of guy. who's such an interesting person that it doesn't matter what they're talking about. You just want to hear her talk.
I'm running for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That might be the part you remember right there.
I love her.
Ain't nobody got time for that. She's the best. And then there's an auto-tune remix of that, of course. Meet Sweet Brown auto-tune remix.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
There you go.
Awesome.
I like it.
KevinAmin.com, top 10 internet roundup videos. Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis debate children.
Anything they do is great.
This was so funny. They were talking about the campaign, and there were three kids, and it was kind of set up like a debate, and they were just awesome.
What is a picture of my balls?
Okay, there's no need to. Don't get a shot of that. Don't show the balls shot. Because those are actually fruit.
Oh, they're fruit, all right.
No, it's not.
It's the lady's favorite fruit. Comes in season all year long.
That's one of the funniest things that's ever been on Funny or Die. All the shouting in the newsroom. I don't know if you watch.
That's a loud show.
If you watch the newsroom on, is it HBO?
Yes.
HBO, the great Aaron Sorkin created it, right?
It's a good show, but there is a tremendous amount of shouting.
Did you just make up statements for somebody we had live on our air? Sandra Bernhardt, you idiot.
Oh, what the hell does it matter?
F*** you.
Eat me.
So there's a lot of that going on.
That's great.
The next one is I think it's Russian, the guy who has the band that jumps in the pool that's frozen over.
Oh, yes.
The frozen pool. This guy decides that he wants to get down into his bathing suit or underwear and gets a running start and tries to do a cannonball so that he will break through the frozen pool.
He thinks it's a very thin layer of ice.
It turns out it's not a very thin layer of ice, and it's not going to break.
My new band is called Siskill.
And he loses his breath, as you do when you hit something that hard.
Man.
Yeah, it was just like diving into concrete.
Yes.
I mean, there was no give, and I think he was very surprised by that.
And the rest of the video is the guy who's videotaping laughing. And then him laughing and trying to crawl back off the ice. It's fantastic. Of course, this was the year. I mean, this is the year that the record was broken for the most views for an internet video. And, of course, it's Psy with Gangnam Style.
Oppan Gangnam Style.
Biggest video of all time, ever.
Of course.
And then Mike Realm did a remix, which we love, involving Honey Boo Boo and Gangnam Style, called Honey Boo Boo Style.
Honey Boo Boo Style.
You guys are genius.
Yeah. This is quite a batch of videos right here. It's a good year, 24.
Yeah, they're all together. And then there's also a roundup mashup that I did, a video that has kind of most of them in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all one song. And if you don't have time to watch all of the other ones, you can check out my remix of the Internet Roundup 2010. Or 2012. Either year. whichever year you want to take a look at.
Hair run.
Hair row.
Hair run.
Hairline.
Will Ferrell, Zach, Kyla Finite.
Thank you, Janice.
It's Ted Farkas.
Ted Farkas.
It ain't for me because I'm still rich.
Take it away, boy.
Now and then we like to play one guitar together.
Anyway, that's a remix that you can check out online as well. All of these videos together in one place.
Awesome.
KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean, later Ned, Rambo.
I'm just saying, anything Petras had to worry about was getting busted for too much Haagen-Dazs. He didn't have no drug problem.
How do you come at him right away? He's a
party pee.
He's nothing.
I didn't say that. How happy I was to have you back on the show, P. How are you, my friend?
What did he say? He said something.
Yeah, he made a joke about you being fat.
I just said you got busted for Haagen-Dazs, but there was no problem with drugs when you were playing football. That's all.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Petros Papadakis, our longtime friend here on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, the host of the wildly successful Petros and Money radio show, heard weekday afternoons on AM 570. The reason we wanted to have you on is because you are not only a fine sports broadcaster, but you are also a former college football star. And this NFL story continues to unwind every day, it seems like. We got another player who's being busted for something. They usually claim it's Adderall. What's your take on what's happening this year, my friend?
Well, I think it's just something that's become more prevalent in the world of football, especially with defensive backs.
First of all, I'm sorry to interrupt, but tell us what Adderall is first.
Well, Adderall, as many of your listeners know, is a drug for ADHD, but it's a drug that heightens your attention level. It makes you calmer. It is supposed to make things slow down a little bit, and that's something that a lot of football players, I guess, because the test results are overwhelming, are getting busted for. This was not something people were into in my day, which I guess means I'm getting kind of old. But it's happening amongst defensive backs, which are guys that have to be aware of coverage and the quarterback and a few different things. And you have to process a lot of information as a pro football player in the game plan and the installation of the game plan every week. And then the game is pretty intense. And I guess it's something that guys are using now. But, you know, a lot of this is legit, too. I mean, a lot of these guys do have ADHD, and this is on the banned substance list, and there's some complications as far as appeals go and different things like that, where a guy says, wait a minute, I've been taking this drug, you know, the doctor gave it to me when I was 15 years old.
Right.
So there's some of that going on.
Is that
too,
still, but is it legal if it's doctor prescribed?
I'm not exactly sure, but I do know Adderall is on the Greenies list. You know, it's on the list with, like, Greenies and Speed for the NFL banned substances.
So they just can't do it no matter what?
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Brandon Browner. I mean, guys I know, they're all, like, West Coast guys, a lot of DBs. It's Eric Wright is another one. It's interesting, but I don't think it's a huge deal. I think it's something the NFL will figure out between the doctors, the unions, and these guys. I mean, look, when I played, guys, they had this stuff called Pain Off.
Okay.
Pain Off.
Right. Right.
And it was like two pills in a little bag, and it was like, okay, yeah, take this because it'll make you feel better. And I used to take it, and I thought I was like taking something all crazy. All it was Excedrin.
You know? Wait, did you take it before the game or after?
I'd take it before practice.
Oh, before practice.
To kill the chicken in my heart, you know?
I got you.
I didn't want to be a chicken out there.
Let me ask you this. You talked about why it might be beneficial to a player because of the long meetings and the playbooks that you got to memorize. And there's a lot of thinking that goes on. I mean, even though it's a very physical game, you got to be a pretty smart guy in this respect to play in the NFL these days because there's so much to memorize. Does it also help you physically as well? Is there an edge to the player on the field who is on this kind of medicine?
You know, only that it helps things slow down. I mean, what you hear from guys who make the transition from high school to college football, which is actually the biggest jump in football, and then from college to pro, which is also very significant, what you hear about is that the game just goes too fast. And, you know, I can certainly attest to that in my experience. You know, my first carry in college in a game, you know, I thought it was like a herd of buffalo chasing me. I mean, just the sound. The sound of it and the look in the guy's eyes. I mean, they looked like they wanted to rip you apart and then throw you, your body across the stadium in different spots. You know, I mean, like William Wallace. it's a shock. So if a drug helps things slow down, and I've never taken Adderall, maybe I knew some younger people that were into it, but it does make things slow down, apparently.
Is it something that would make me better at my job, Petros?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I'm considering that any drug would probably make you guys better.
Pete, let me ask you this, because you know a lot more about the NFL and their drug policy than I do. They know, when they say that a player tested positive for drugs, the NFL itself, if I understand correctly, please tell me if I'm wrong, does not identify what that drug is. And oftentimes, they don't know. They just know that the stick turned purple or whatever it was in the urine. And the players can say they were on Adderall, even if they were on steroids or something else, right?
Yeah, generally, I mean, generally it leaks out for one reason or another, you know, just like it's really hard to keep information in today's day and age, especially when it comes to a football franchise where there's a lot of people that can leak something to their friends in the media. Everybody wants to feel important.
Sure.
But if you test positive for drugs in the NFL, it could be cocaine, it could be marijuana, it could be this Adderall now, or greenies, or speed, or some kind of performance-enhancing drug, which you would imagine is probably what is really what they are going after.
I mean, of course. Not,
you know, I mean, I knew a lot of guys that did a lot of drugs over the years in the world of football. Most of them didn't help. Most of them were recreational and, you know, something that just young people might generally be into. But you do see the other stuff, too, and it's always interesting what the trends are. You know, and this is a trend right now. And you know, the one thing that would suck is if, and a lot of football players, you know, it's something like 8% of our population has ADHD. That doubles with athletes just because of the nature of who they are mentally. And it would suck if you're a guy who has ADHD and it's something that you've used to help yourself, you know, throughout your life, and then it's starting to hurt your pro football career. But I think they'll get this figured out, you know, by next year.
So you don't think this is a serious problem, that it's any real danger to the league? It's just, it's a speed bump, right?
For
the clean game they want.
Speed bump. See what he did?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
That was on purpose.
Want to do a bump? I don't think you're going to see a bunch of naked people clapping trash can lids together, you know, running about the streets, you know, screaming into the night that play football because of Adderall.
Gotcha.
I just think it's probably something that became fashionable and sophisticated amongst defensive backs in the NFL.
Why do you think just defensive backs? Why not linebackers? Why not quarterbacks that need to think more than anyone?
You know, every position, and I don't, you know, you guys probably don't want me to get the minutiae part of this out, but every position is so drastically different. You know, one of you guys made a comment. I can't tell the difference when I'm in my back house.
No one can.
But one of you guys made a comment that something to the effect of, what was it? Something about football. Oh, yeah, everybody's got to be smart that plays football.
Right.
No, not everybody. But there are positions that you do really have to be, you have to have a ridiculously, some of them are defensive, because that's reactive.
Hey Pete, wherever you are, your phone is not working very well anymore.
See, I knew this would happen.
Yeah. That's a good thing that you went ahead with it then.
Yeah, it is. We were near the end anyway. We were basically just going to let you finish and say thank you anyway, because I know you're up early. You got to breastfeed the baby this morning, right?
Yeah, those drugs are working well.
Okay. All right. Petros and Money, weekday afternoons at AM 570 all across this great land of ours. Petros Papadakis, have a great weekend if we don't talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Whatever.
Recap the Grammy nominations with the Los Angeles Times music critic, Randall Roberts, coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Danny Way talks about his new documentary. He's a skateboarding legend, don't you know?
No way.
Ralph looks at Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 27. I just can't wait to find out what happens after the excitement of the marriage counseling yesterday.
We're still in the middle of marriage counseling. It's not over yet.
They get some more water?
Just because Kathy storms out of the office doesn't mean that Dr. Perry is done.
Does anybody want
now.
More water?
Would you like ice with that? Sparkling or Evian?
Got a huge 7 o'clock hour coming up, though. But we're not done with this hour yet. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat.
That's right, I am. How about this for a reality show?
A production company, and I S you not, has announced plans to send four people to Mars.
No.
By 2023,
where they will be the stars of a reality show that follows the creation of the first human colony on the red planet.
I'm going to have to go yes, then.
Wait, for reals, though, send people to Mars?
Yep, Mars won.
But they've never been able to do it yet.
Well, that's what they're going to do, Kevin. They're going to do a reality show, but the first people on Mars. What?
Well, let me mark my calendar. What month is it going to start in 2000?
Well, they'd like to do it in 2023, yeah.
Okay, but here's my whole thing. If we really did have people on Mars, actual channels would be covering that all the time anyway. We'd all be able to see everything that goes on with people on
Only
Mars.
Only the reality
or
show.
Or would they?
Well, yeah, of course they would.
Okay, never mind.
this is weird.
The company's called Mars One. They said they already have more than 1,000 people who are volunteering to make the one-way trip.
I'm sorry? That's an interesting angle.
Once you go, you're gone. Look, how long does it take to get to Mars anyway?
I think it's like 6 months, isn't it?
Oh, I thought it was longer than that.
I thought it was longer than
maybe
that.
Maybe longer, maybe nine. I don't know. It's a long-ass time. Being it's a boring reality show, I'll tell you that.
Being you've always wanted to go into space, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
So. Starting with four pioneers and then an additional four people to the planet every 2 years until a colony of 20 is established. That's the plan for the series.
So they send you up there. They say, okay, you're going one way. So when you get there, you better be able to figure out a way to build some shelter or something so that you can survive.
It's not Survivor Mars.
When it gets to be 1,000 degrees.
They're going to have to provide you with, you know, some sort of dwelling and food and stuff like that.
Get back to me in like 2020 and tell me how this is going.
What happens when the show's canceled and they decide not to run any more food up there? That's what I want to know.
Hey, sorry, everyone.
That's what I really get to. Sorry, your numbers were low. Yeah, I know, but we're on Mars. Yeah, I know. Well, hey.
One way.
Thanks so much.
Told you.
It's a good run.
Got some bad news. All right, according to this space-related website, it says depending on the speed of the vehicle, it takes somewhere between 6 months and a year to get there. 150 to 300 days, it says here.
What if you're taking a 1988 Ford Fiesta?
That could take weeks, Ralph.
Which I think is what they're going to be using. Anyway, that's the plan. Anyone? Anyone?
It sounds unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's hard enough to get a show on television now. They're planning on getting a show on television in 2023. We may not even have TV by then. We might just be plugging coaxial cable into the base of our necks and just be beaming information right into our brains. Seems like a bad business model to me. More good TV news. Brooklyn Decker.
Yes.
Is going to be guest starring in an upcoming episode of New Girl. She's just been cast in an episode of New Girl. She'll play a girl that the crew meets at a bar who's attracted to all three guys at the same time, Nick, Winston, and Schmidt, and then they have to fight it out amongst themselves. I'm laughing already thinking about that concept.
It's funny.
She's a good deal, that Brooklyn Decker, by
the
way.
She is. See, we don't talk about her much lately because of Kate Upton, but Brooklyn Decker, there's nothing wrong with her.
No.
See Olivia Munn on last week's episode?
Yeah. The New Girl? I haven't seen it yet.
Played a stripper?
No.
Yeah.
I may never see it, actually.
Why?
Because,
it's a good show.
I know. I know it is.
What's wrong with it?
My, DirecTV DVR box.
Yeah?
Took crap.
Oh!
Won't work. It's non-operational.
Good times.
So they have to send me out a new one, and I'll return the broken one. But the broken one contains about 300 hours of television that I was looking forward to watching.
Which will all be probably wiped clean.
I've got a bunch of castles. I've got...
You're going to catch up over the holidays,
were you? Yeah, yeah. I was looking forward to catching up some of my favorite shows.
Ralph's going to be sitting in front of his TV just watching
nothing. The worst
nothing.
Part is all of Olivia's shows were on there. So she's like... I watch Yo Gabba Gabba. It's like, no, you don't.
Sorry, honey.
Because we ain't got none anymore. We had like 60 Yo Gabba Gabbas on there, and now it's a nightmare.
That's going to be a sad day when you hook up that new DVR and you
it's all
go to,
fresh
go
and
to the
clean.
Grid. It's just
there's
empty.
Nothing there.
Nothing.
Because they don't save your selections. That's,
nope.
that's recorded on the hard drive inside the box.
Yep, that's
so
right.
That
yeah.
stuff is
yeah,
gone,
your host.
Gone forever. So I had New Girl on there, by the way. That's, why, that's what made me think of it.
Good episode.
Oh, I'm glad.
Well, it's just Olivia Munn playing a stripper, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do? Hey, what's the greatest hip-hop song of all time?
California Love?
Nope.
Summertime?
Nope. Rolling Stone Magazine has announced their decision. They claim
No Vaseline by Ice Cube?
No Vaseline. They claim it's The Message by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
It's hard, that's a pretty good choice. Hard to argue with that, actually.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. Remember that?
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge.
Pretty good.
I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
That was a great song.
That was a great song.
That's one of the jams I used to rock when I was a DJ.
If I remember correctly, it was the first million-selling 12-inch.
You were a DJ?
MC or whatever. What do those black guys do with clown things? I was one of those. What did you say? It was one of the what?
It was first million-selling 12-inch, and it's kind of the one that put rap on the map for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was for me. That's the first thing I remember saying. Like, what was that? That is... That, well, actually, of course, Blondie's Rapture was my first rap jam. Yeah. But then number two, they claim, is Rapper's Delight by Sugar Hill Gang, and that you'd be hard-pressed to complain about.
Also pretty, good pretty seminal.
Yeah. Another good tune. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Peter Buck, guitarist for R.E.M., is 56 years old today. David Loverling, drummer for the Pixies, is 51. And director Judd Apatow, who from the 40-Year-Old Virgin, of course, Knocked Up, his new sequel, sort of, to Knocked Up. This is 40. 40-Year-Old Virgin, this is 40. Get off. All right. Okay, you're 40. We get it, Judd. He's 45 years old.
Talked to him yesterday. It comes out December 21st.
He's a good guy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Imagine Dragons on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. 2 hours from now, they will be in our studio.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
What an unbelievable coincidence, since we're also going to see them this week, and they're part of the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas concert happening both nights, Saturday and Sunday. We got your pit tickets and backstage passes you can win with the Dragons when they're in studio with us in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have those for you. By the way, Kevin, speaking of this weekend's Acoustic Christmas.
Yes.
We're going to have a lot of happy bands on the bill, because it seems like half the acts that are playing for us this weekend got great news last night when the Grammy nominations came out.
Yeah, this is so weird for us, because for a while it was a lot of our music, and then for maybe 10 years, we'd be lucky if they'd throw in a Foo Fighters every once in a while just to kind of... You know what I mean? It was rarely bands we played.
Yeah.
Rarely.
And there might be a Foo Fighters or some nomination like that in one of the rock categories, but certainly not in any of the major categories.
Right.
I mean, year after year after year, you'd be hard-pressed to even find rock music in the album of the year, song of the year, record of the year, sometimes even best new artist. I mean, it just has not been going our way. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they shot and killed half the people who voted for these, and they went to Hot Topic stores to get new people to vote. I don't know what happened, but let's find out from our friend Randall Roberts, who is back on the show after a couple of months away. He is the Los Angeles Times pop music critic, and I'm sure he was watching last night as the nominations were unveiled on CBS. Mr. Roberts, welcome, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, a lot of rock last night.
Were you as surprised as we were to see this list as it was coming out? Did you think, what parallel universe am I living in?
Well, you know, I wasn't surprised about the Black Keys. That was kind of a foregone conclusion. It did so well, and it's such a great rock record. I was more surprised that Jack White got nominated, and the Alabama Shakes got. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's a fresh, really interesting group of nominations this year, I think.
Has there been any kind of a turnover in the nomination process that I'm unaware of? Because this is just such a sea change.
None. There hasn't been. I mean, there have been a few categories where were lost last year and then added this year. But for the most part, it's the same. It's just, I don't know. It's just what's presented to them along with what they're listening to and so on and so forth.
So album of the year is the Black Keys' El Camino, Fun Period, Mumford & Sons, Frank Ocean, and Jack White. That's surprisingly a lot of stuff we play.
Yeah. If you're not playing Frank Ocean yet, but maybe
we should
you will.
Let, talk about Frank Ocean, maybe for some of our Kevin Bean listeners who are unfamiliar with this guy's incredible album.
Yeah. It's an amazing album. Frank Ocean is from New Orleans, but moved to Los Angeles, joined a collective, a hip-hop collective called Odd Future, and released this record called Channel Orange, a beautiful R&B record. He's got a great voice. Sounds kind of like an updated Marvin Gaye. What a lot of people might know about him is that a week before the album came out, he came out as gay or at least bisexual, and that broke a barrier very quickly in hip-hop and R&B that hadn't before.
And he's one of those guys who just seems to be involved in so many other people's great records. I mean, you'll see him collaborating with artists like Kanye and Jay-Z. I mean, he definitely is top line. And I don't want people to be scared off, you know, people who think they only like rock music. Frank Ocean, yeah, he's an R&B and a rap star, but kind of like how Prince is, in that if you're a rock fan, I think his music is also very accessible to you. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. And one of my favorite things by Frank Ocean, he actually remade Hotel California by the Eagles with new words. And it's called American Wedding. The Eagles were pretty upset about it, but it's an amazing song. And that might be a good entry point.
Yeah, it's easy to find online. Don't worry, Don Henley will come to your house and shoot you if he knows you have it. Let's move on to one of the other. He will. He was really ticked. Let's move on to one of the other big categories in Record of the Year. The Black Keys are back again with "Lonely Boy." Then Kelly Clarkson's "Stronger." The Fun with Janelle Monáe, "We Are Young." Gautier featuring Kimbra, "Somebody That I Used to Know." Frank Ocean, "Thinking About You," and Taylor Swift, "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together Again." And this is worth mentioning that Taylor's album was not eligible for Album of the Year. That came out after the cutoff, right?
Right.
Has there ever been a more childish song that has been put up for Record of the Year?
Never, ever. Thank you. Back together. Yeah.
Come on. That was written by a second grader.
All
right. How dare you? Who do you think would win in that category? I know we're still a couple of months out from the ceremony, but if you were a betting man, who do you think would win that Record of the Year?
Well, that Fun is nominated in all four categories, and that song "We Are Young," I mean, became an anthem of the year. I would say that's probably what I would think would be leading the pack. I'm not crazy about that song, and I'm actually not very happy that it's in my head again after finally leaving after all these months.
Yeah. I thought Fun was the biggest surprise of the entire night to me, to see them nominated in all four major categories.
Yeah, definitely. That was a big surprise.
So what is that? Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Best New Artist and Best Pop Vocal? No,
Song of the Year. Song of the Year.
Song of the Year also. And Record of the Year. One of them's for songwriter and one of them's for the recording.
Got it. All right, let's talk about Best New Artist. We mentioned Fun. They have to be favorites in this category for the reason that you mentioned. Some people may be unfamiliar with some of the other acts nominated this year. Who are they?
They are the Alabama Shakes, which is a fantastic band from Alabama. With an amazing lead singer and a really, really solid kind of southern rock sound, very similar in sound to the Black Keys. Hunter Hayes, who's kind of a lightweight Nashville country star. The Lumineers, which you probably heard that song "Hey Ho" on a commercial. Yeah, and
That's a big record here at K-Rock too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And Frank Ocean, right? Alabama Shakes. I love. It's funny. Kevin and I were having a conversation about the music of the past year the other day. Remember this, Kevin? And I said the biggest hit that we missed at K-Rock this year was that "Hold On" song by the Alabama Shakes. That should have been a number one record. That is a great song, a great album. And I just love these guys. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to interview them or anything or not, but they are, I mean, they're just personality plus.
To them. Yeah. Yeah, and if you've never seen them live, it'll change your mind. And, you know, it's not too late, guys. You can always start playing the Alabama Shakes.
That's true. Absolutely. All right, let's do a Song of the Year, because there were a couple of surprises here. First of all, Carly Rae Jepsen's "Call Me Maybe," which I'm not surprised at. I'm actually kind of surprised he didn't get more nominations, just because it was everywhere and it was so big this year.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, I expected it for Record of the Year, and I did expect her to be nominated for Best New Artist, but she wasn't.
Me too, yeah. Miguel, who's R&B singer with a song a lot of people probably don't know called "Adorn." Then Ed Sheeran, who's a British singer-songwriter, right, who is just enormously popular in other places around the world and just kind of making his impact here.
Yeah, and he appears on the new Taylor Swift album in a duet. It's a really nice duet.
And then you got Kelly Clarkson, her "Stronger" song, again talking about Song of the Year, and Fun's "We Are Young," which I think you're right is going to have a huge, huge night. Any other surprises for you, or themes, or anything else that you wanted to mention in all the dozens of other categories, Randall?
Well, I enjoy saying this out loud myself. Justin Bieber didn't get nominated for anything.
Sweet! That's great news.
Did you see that Scooter Braun, his manager, threw a big temper tantrum on Twitter last night about that?
I woke up to that this morning, and I mean, I absolutely respect Scooter Braun and everything that he's done, but you know, I'm going to be quiet.
The Grammys should have a biggest douchebag award, and then they can nominate him.
The show is going to be on February the 10th, I think, is what they said, right? That's when the Grammys are actually going to air on CBS. But unfortunately, none of us will be seeing us, because that's the night The Walking Dead comes back. So I'm sorry, Grammys. But we haven't heard anything yet about who's going to be performing or anything like that. But based on the lineup, I mean, the fact that we're going to get to see Jack White on a network broadcast is going to be so fun. I think it's really going to be a show that we're really going to be able to look forward to next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a blast.
All right, Randall Roberts, Los Angeles Times pop music critic. You guys do great work over there in the paper and at LATimes.com. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We appreciate talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I can only imagine that the Trapped in the Closet chapters weren't released in time to be eligible for Grammy nominations last night, right?
That's correct.
That's the only possible reason why they're not in every single category.
And for Oscars and Emmys.
Absolutely. And Tonys.
I got to tell you again, though, listening to the highlights are fantastic and great fun. But when you watch the video, you will think it's a parody.
Yeah.
You'll think it's a joke.
It's almost impossible to decipher whether it's real or not, or whether it's intentionally funny or accidentally funny.
It's not intentionally funny, I don't think. Do you?
Talking about R. Kelly, the great singer-songwriter from Chicago, who, by the way, did get nominated for some actual Grammys last night for his other music, for Write Me Back, his album from this year. But he has Trapped in the Closet, and it is back. And Ralph, every day, has been taking us through yet another chapter of the new ones that just came out on Thanksgiving weekend. And we are up to what now? Number 27?
27. You may remember last episode, we met Dr. William T. Perry, marriage counselor, played by the legendary R. Kelly himself.
Sure.
And he is trying to counsel Rufus and Kathy. Rufus legendarily had the affair with Chuck, which sort of set the whole thing in motion. Yeah, Rufus is the pastor of his local church. Kathy is his dutiful pastor's wife, who, of course, was sleeping around herself.
Sure.
Behind her husband's back with Sylvester, who was literally in the closet. He's the only person in the franchise that I believe actually was ever in a closet.
That's true.
We had the midget, but he was in a cabinet.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Have to remember that. Big man was in a cabinet.
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to work things out. Kathy has stormed out of the office at this point in the story. When we pick up chapter 27, Rufus has dropped to his knees.
Oh.
Which is the first time for Rufus, by the way, with Chuck. You know what
sure,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now he's praying to God that God will intervene somehow and help save his marriage.
Rufus begins to pray, God, if you can hear me now, please change impossible to somehow.
Yeah.
What?
God, if you can hear me now, change impossible to somehow.
Oh! I thought he said pass a bowl.
I did too. I was confused.
I was like, God provides that? Fantastic.
And Kathy has stormed out of the office. She is furiously punching the elevator buttons while Dr. Perry races out of his office to get her in the hallway to try to entice her back into the room so they can work on this marriage. And he confronts her in the hallway.
Mrs. Long's wake. I waited long enough. But your husband's in there in pieces. Yeah, well, I'm tired of picking him up. Oh, you don't want to be like that. There's this damn elevator. In fact, I don't think you really mean that. Yeah, don't. And what do you know? I know you're pressing the elevator. Yeah, and we on the first floor. Well, I just take the stairs. That would be the basement.
Yeah, yeah.
What's happening?
We're on the first floor, and she's pressing down on the elevator. Where are you going? We're on the first floor. Well, I'll take the stairs. Well, that would be the basement then.
This is what's so great about this, is that he spends so much time on nonsense.
He's not afraid of the details.
No, he's not.
He does not shy away from the minutiae of everyday life. That much we know about R. Kelly.
R. Kelly is not a big picture only guy.
No. He likes to flesh out the lives of these characters in every possible way. Now, Dr. Perry, in an attempt to let Kathy know that the marriage is savable, uses another one of his couples that he counseled as an example, which is an excellent technique for a therapist.
Now you got a man in there fighting for y'all marriage on his knees. Yeah, well, what am I supposed to do about it when that man hurt me so deep? Yeah, but that's why you both are here. To work it out. Yeah, but what is there to work out when he said he was still in love with the man? Ooh, oh.
Yeah, what's she going to do when he's in love with a man?
That does seem like a roadblock.
Well, again, he's using other patients as examples for how successful this therapy can be. And in particular, he brings up this one couple.
Now listen to me. See, once upon a time I had this couple. And they both were paralyzed by their struggle. And I just couldn't get them to understand the purposeful woman and man. Side to side, better or for worse, a marriage. Yeah, but what's that got to do with me and Rufus?
Yeah, what does that have to do with us, doctor?
That's a good question.
Well, listen, you can learn from other people's examples.
for example, this couple went to Dr. Perry and there was a happy ending, right?
That same couple broke up 15 years ago and to this day, they still not happy.
Oh, well, maybe that wasn't the best example to use then, doctor.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
So you want me to come back then?
So you're a good therapist then? Is that what you're saying? You couldn't reach them and they broke up and they're unhappy?
Well, look, between Rufus praying, and we already know God's shown up already.
That's true.
In this story now. He was talking to Lucius the Stuttering Pimp.
Sure.
Rufus is on his knees praying. They're arguing, Dr. Perry and Kathy are arguing out in the hallway. The thing builds to a tremendous crescendo until the door bursts open into the office at the end, and we get our resolution.
Now, meanwhile, Rufus is praying real hard, going in on his knees in the doctor's office, asking God to forgive him for his sin. So confused, and I just don't know what to do. And you know that I love my wife, but Chuck is so hard to lose. Help! I really, really want to forgive him, but it's the hardest. I know. Help! In all fairness, Kathy, you did have a man in your closet. Help! Look, you can do this. You said if I called on you, you would be there. Now what are you gonna do? Baby, I forgive you. We'll work it out.
Yes.
We'll work it out.
Oh.
We'll work it out. I love you. I love you too.
And but Chuck. I still love penis. So Kathy comes back into the office. She is willing to work on the relationship. She has forgiven Rufus for his transgressions, and now they can start putting the pieces of their marriage back together again. Ladies and gentlemen, right. Kathy and Rufus.
That is good news.
Better than that other couple that he couldn't save.
Chapter 20.
That is a Walk the Moon, by the way, one of the baby bands on the bill, night number one, this Saturday night at the Gibson of the sold-out 23rd Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Great lineups this year, too. Everybody from Linkin Park and Rise Against and Bush and Garbage to Killers, Jack White, Fun, M83, Neon Trees, the list goes on and on. You are running out of time if you want to be there in person. We're giving away tickets again this morning at 9:10, also this afternoon at 12:10, then 3:10 and 6:10. You can get the details at krock.com. We're talking about pit tickets and backstage passes to both nights.
And one of the bands that's going to be playing this weekend, Imagine Dragons, will be here in the 9 o'clock hour.
Awesome.
So we'll be able to talk to them about that and give away a pair of tickets there at 9:10.
We have been very lucky over the years to be able to talk to some of our favorite X Games athletes, and there's almost no one more impressive than Danny Way. I mean, he's in the conversation. He's got to be in the top two or three guys to be considered as the best skateboarder of all time. Wouldn't you say, Kevin?
I don't know, because he's always hurt. So what does that tell you?
But he's always hurt because he's always doing things that no one else in the world has brass balls big enough or strong enough to do.
Right, but then he gets injured, and then you go, well, maybe he's not as good as I thought.
Well, let's find out. Danny Way is on the phone talking about Waiting for Lightning, which is the new documentary about his unbelievable career, available in theaters and for download tomorrow. Danny, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Great to talk to you. Kevin mocking you because you get hurt a lot. And just for the record, are you hurt right now?
I'm not hurt right now, and I don't appreciate the mocking over there.
No, here's what you need to know about Danny Way. He was going to jump the Great Wall of China, so he did it the day before to practice.
Yes.
Broke his ankle. And then for you and me, it would be, all right, see you later. I'm out. I'd fly back home. He did it the next day and landed it with a broken ankle.
Yeah. So, you don't quit when you get hurt, Danny. That's one thing we know about you.
Well, I try not to. China was one of those situations where I just could not walk away. I mean, took a couple of years to get that put together, and all of the time, the money, everything that went into that to have that happen the day prior to the event, and then be sitting there and dwelling on it. I just couldn't allow that to fizzle out.
But when you break your ankle, that has to, no matter how strong you are, how strong your heart and your drive is, it has to be a little bit bothersome in that you might worry, you know, the next time it's going to be on TV, what are the chances now that I can land it? And you did.
Well, it solidifies the what ifs, you know, and I have a hard time with wondering what could have happened if I would have just tried. So in those situations, I usually just go for it and hope for the best. And luckily that worked out. I still limp around every day. I've had four surgeries post that incident on my ankle.
Wow.
The repercussions definitely come with it. I mean, there's a price tag that it comes with some of these things.
Sure. Danny, let me ask you this. The Waiting for Lightning movie, which, by the way, is going to be playing at the Lemley Santa Monica Fourplex on Friday and available for download everywhere same day. When you were putting this movie together, it's not like you to look backwards at other things that you've done, because you're a guy who's always tried to spend your time thinking about what you can do next, right? What was it like to kind of sit back and look at your career as a whole as it unfolded in front of you?
It's interesting. You know, it's very cool that, you know, I've been lucky enough that I started my career when I was pretty young. When I was 14, I turned pro, and I've been documenting my career, you know, prior to even that age. You know, from about 12 on, there's been a video camera around most often. So when we started working on this, you know, all this archive footage came up, and I never had seen a lot of the footage. So it definitely brought a lot of, you know, feelings, you know, emotions, all those things that go along with all of those different time frames that I, you know, haven't really thought about in years. So it was pretty cool to look back. But like you said, yeah, I do like to look forward. And in this movie, I, you know, at the end of the movie, I did get an opportunity to create something new. So I'm always trying to find a way to get an opportunity to experiment with my skateboarding. So anyways, there is a segment in this movie where that does happen. And but it is definitely a story where there's a lot of retro footage as well.
Speaking of getting a chance to do something that you've never done before, there are a bunch of different people interviewed in this particular film. Travis Pastrana, Laird Hamilton, Matt Hoffman, Ken Block, Rob Dyrdek. And Rob Dyrdek is talking in the movie about a stunt that you do where you jump out of a helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that seems bad.
It did go bad. Actually, I've done that more than once, and the second time I tried to reenact the first time I did it. I never planned to do this. I built a ramp to try and break one of the world records for the highest air out of the half pipe, and
right,
we had a helicopter that they were filming from, and it was hovering above the ramp, and I just made a joke like, wow, you look like you drop out of that helicopter into the ramp. And Rob was right there and a few other people, and before I knew it, the helicopter pilot was getting talked to by these guys, and then all of a sudden they're like, you want to do it? He said he'd let you do it. I kind of got to do it now. So anyways, that became the focal point of that whole event that day, and it wasn't my mission.
Here's Rob Dyrdek talking about that.
I remember talking to him, and he's like, we're going to pull the helicopter, and I'm going to jump out of the helicopter. And I was like, you're going to jump out of the helicopter into the ramp? And he's like, I'm like, are you kidding? Is he kidding?
Yes, at first he was.
Well, I was in the beginning, and it kind of just came, you know, transpired, and I got put on the spot, so I didn't want to let my friends down. And anyways, that worked out, and it became the focal point of that day, which I didn't, like I said, plan for that. So
right. Did someone have to talk you into making this documentary, or is this something that you have been planning for a while and wanted to do?
It wasn't really like something I was, you know, set out on a mission to make happen. One of my good friends I grew up that happened to, you know, be one of the persons that was around filming most of this stuff when we were traveling as kids and stuff, went on to create a company in Hollywood called Bandito Brothers, and they've made, you know, Act of Valor was one of their latest films, and they made Step in the Liquid and Riding Giants, and
right,
the list goes on. So my friend Jake and I, you know, had discussed doing a project together, and he said that, you know, after looking through all of his content and knowing my life story, that he could make a compelling film that was way beyond, you know, an action skateboarding film. And that's really what this film is. It definitely is about a skateboarder, and that's obviously me, but it's not a skateboarding film, although skateboarding kind of moves you through the story. It's
right.
Definitely, it has a general interest component, and that's why, you know, Jake was so advantageous about making this film. He thought it was definitely you know, an inspirational story, and it could, you know, definitely be moving to people to watch.
It's inspirational for some people. I just feel like a big, giant loser when I watch footage. When I saw that extended trailer yesterday, and I thought, I am not even a human. I don't even deserve to live on this earth compared to what some of these guys are doing. All right, last question, Danny, because we're almost out of time. And again, the film is called Waiting for Lightning, and that is, when you watch the fails, when you watch falling out of the sky and hitting the ramp and laying motionless for 2 minutes before you can stand again, does it take you back to what that felt like at that time? Or are you disassociated enough from it now that it doesn't hurt to see that footage yet?
it always hurts to see that. You know what I mean? I mean, those memories of pain are ingrained in my nervous system. I mean, when I see it, it definitely re-resonates those feelings a bit. But at the same time, it also gives me, you know, I like to critique what went wrong. So, I'm pretty used to getting hurt, and I'm used to seeing myself get hurt on video footage. So
sure.
it's not abnormal for me, although it does, you know, I do look at it and have to go, oh man, I can't believe I did that to myself again. it's a little painful sometimes. Yeah.
Well, Kevin, I want you to apologize to Danny because he managed to have this entire phone conversation without getting injured one time this morning.
Danny, I apologize. You're the best.
I appreciate it. I've had a good track record, and I'm knocking on wood, which I'm not superstitious, but I'm going to believe that could help me. So
sure.
The film looks awesome. It is called Waiting for Lightning. Go to wherever you download and get this on Friday, or if you want to see it on the big screen and why wouldn't you at the Lemley Santa Monica Fourplex? Danny, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
I always love being on you guys' show. Thanks, guys.
Comedian W. Kamau Bell is here. He'll join us coming up after the top of the hour in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew on the way. Also, the band Imagine Dragons will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, it's Ralph Garman time at 7:53.
Sad news yesterday for the music world when legendary jazz musician Dave Brubeck passed away. Brubeck passed away yesterday morning, one day short of today, which would have been his 92nd birthday. That's
Quitter.
A ripoff, man. You don't get that last piece of cake. You don't get that last lap dance. That is some BS. Brubeck was a legend. Even if you didn't know jazz music, you knew some of his music. For example, his smash hit recording Take Five, probably his most famous song, crossed over from jazz into the pop world, was a smash hit on a lot of different Billboard lists. Here's a little taste. You may remember this song. Oh, that is cool.
I hate that.
How can you hate that?
I don't know. It just sucks.
You really don't like this? You don't hear this and go, wow, this is great?
Nope. Dude, this music is awesome.
I don't like it. What do you want from me?
You're not to be wrong. I want you not to be wrong.
I've never had that option, Ralph.
This is so cool.
All right.
Just Ralph, makes you think about tuxedos and martinis and hot chicks and...
Hot chicks I like. Tuxedos,
smoky,
martinis, no thanks.
Smoky rooms. And...
This was 1959. This was a big hit for Dave Brubeck. It's funny that last hour we were talking about the Grandmaster Flash song The Message, which I told you was the first million-selling 12-inch.
Yeah.
This was the first million-selling jazz album.
There you go.
Dave Brubeck's Take Five album.
Yeah. He reinvented jazz by changing the time. The standard beat was 4-4 time for jazz. He added an extra beat, made it 5-4 time, and the rest is history.
I do love 5-4.
Well, I know you're a big fan of the 5-4.
I'm going to buy Kevin that album for Christmas.
He won't appreciate it. Don't catch your pearls.
Why does Kevin hate
good things?
I'm going to get you a star on star named after you, the Bean. Christmas, what do you think of that?
I thought you could have said it better.
No, sure. That's always the case.
Yeah. You ever play the Tom Clancy Splinter Cell video game?
No.
It's great.
Never have.
And it's also being turned into a movie. They've just announced that Splinter Cell will become a major motion picture. The people who made the video game from the Tom Clancy novel are also producing the film, which takes characters from the video game who work for a secret government organization and use their combat skills, weapons, and cutting-edge gadgets to neuralize international terrorist threats. I think it's going to make a great film because it's a really fun video game to play. Tom Hardy will be the lead.
Is that Bane?
Yeah, Bane. Also, he was from Star Trek Nemesis, you may know him, or Inception. And it's going to be great. The next installment of that video game franchise, by the way, Blacklist, is set to be released in spring. So, no idea when the film will reach theaters, but should be cool. This is an interesting idea for a movie, too. Warner Brothers has announced a film about the 1960s search for the Boston Strangler. There have been several films made about this legendary crime case, but I think we're due for a refresh. Casey Affleck apparently pitched the idea to Warners and is looking to star as one of the detectives in the film. So we'll see another Boston Strangler movie soon. You familiar with that case at all?
Not really.
They never...
I know of it.
They never... They believe they know who the Strangler was. And there was a guy who was charged with the crimes, but there's been a lot of speculation that maybe they got the wrong guy and
really?
The Strangler got away, so... Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
Judd Apatow, the 40-year-old virgin in Knocked Up fame. He is 45 years old today. Drummer David Lovering of the Pixies is 51. I bet David Lovering loves Take Five.
Probably.
Because that's an awesome drummer song. Come on.
I love it, Ralph.
You should. That is cool, man. That's cool, Daddy-O. We're such a square. Come on, cat. Peter Buck of REM is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
One of the pleasant surprises of the fall season just ending was W. Kamau Bell's show Totally Biased on the FX channel. It is on hiatus right now, but returning for the second half of the first season on January the 17th. And Mr. Bell is also going to be performing at the Largo tomorrow night. Tickets on sale through LargoLA.com. W. Kamau Bell, back on the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'll clap for myself, too. Yeah, I'm back. I'm back.
They are letting you back on TV after what you did to them the first go-round. How about that?
I know. It's crazy. I'm as shocked as anybody. Is. I was prepared to return to the Bay Area and be like, they were mean to me, but it worked out.
How many years did you spend in the Bay Area?
15.
15 years. That was your whole first half part of your career?
Yeah, basically, yeah, yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that. I have so many questions for you. I'm so grateful that you're here. But I think of you as a Bay Area guy, a smarty pants Northern California guy.
Yeah, we're way better than you guys, by the way. I just want to be clear about that.
But now I
legally have to say that if I'm in L.A. Okay. We're way better.
All right. So does this mean you're a Giants fan, by the way? Were you all abuzz when they won the
Yeah, I was all abuzz, and I was all happy not to be caught up in the traffic because I was in New York. So, yeah, I was all abuzz with the thrill.
All right, so you're a Bay Area guy now. That's how I think of you. But I know that you also spent some time in Seattle. I know that you went to high school in Chicago. Now you're living in Los Angeles. I think it's awesome when a person has the opportunity to live in a lot of different places in the country. What has it been like for you? Do you see a lot of different city to city to city, or is America just America in your opinion?
No, there's really like two different Americas. There's America in the cities I've lived in, and there's America in the other cities. There's really only two different Americas, and you can tell if you see an Applebee's, you're in America.
Okay.
But if you see, and that, you can see an Applebee's in the middle of a major city and be like, oh, I'm in the America part of this American city. So I like to always live in America. That's how I do.
Gotcha. Wherever you are, there's a part of that city that's welcoming to you.
All right, not 100%.
Yeah, there's people in that city that are welcoming you. You just got to find those people.
How do you like living in Los Angeles?
I live in New York. I don't live in Los Angeles.
Oh, I thought you were out here. Okay, okay.
No.
How do you like living in New York?
Man, it's great. Well, I guess I've been in Los Angeles since last night, so if that's living, I've been living here since last night.
All right. It's cool. Yeah, it's just briefer than some of the other cities.
I love your Embassy Suites. It's a really nice place.
We talked about how they're letting you come back and do more shows, and that's not always a given in the beautiful world of television. It is not uncommon for somebody to be on for less time than you have and already have the plug pulled.
You ain't got to tell me that.
Is it like that when you're starting up a new show? Is like week to week, you're just waiting for the phone to ring to see if you get to do it again?
Well, no, for me it is like that because I can't coming out of getting a show out of San Francisco is sort of ridiculous, and I don't have to say that because it's been written about me several times. So it's sort of crazy. So
meaning, if you grow up in San Francisco or work in San Francisco, you can't imagine a world where you get a TV show.
Well, everybody moves to go get a TV show. I mean, I know a lot of people who moved out of San Francisco to get into the industry, or
right?
You know. Al Madrigal's from San Francisco. He's on The Daily Show right now, but he moved to L.A. 5 or 6 years ago. So, Moshe Kasher writes for The New Normal, but they all moved. I stayed. I was like, no, I like it here. You know, the weather's so nice. I just don't want to leave the weather.
TV show or no TV show? I'm going
to
stay here.
Yeah, so I just sort of stayed in San Francisco and traveled a lot. So I would go to L.A. and New York to, like, audition for stuff or to put my shows on. But, yeah, but getting out of San Francisco, I just felt like if I get on TV once, I have won.
Okay.
I can write the book about how I got a TV show out of San Francisco.
What's the learning curve like on doing a show like yours on the FX network? Like, how was it eye-opening what you didn't know about making television?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's weird. I never thought of myself as some guy who was trying to be the host of a TV late night talk show. You know what I mean? Like, that was not, I was like, I'm a comedian, but I like to talk. And they go, then that's a late night talk show. It's like, oh, is that what that is? Oh, that's good to know. Okay. And so, you know, there's all this thing about hosting a show that you can't prepare for. You know, you can't sort of like, there's no kit for that. Nobody tells you how to do it. They just throw you out there and say, good luck, dude.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel like I'm at the very bottom of that learning curve. Like, I've done 13 shows, which sounds like a lot, but you figure, like, the dudes who started, like, daily late night talk shows did did 13 shows in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so I still am really bad at it, but I'm working on it.
You know how to sell it.
Yeah, I'm selling it.
See,
yeah,
that's good.
I'm selling it. Come watch me get slightly better as each week goes on.
This is the voice of W. Kamau Bell here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking to him about the return of his Totally Biased show in January on FX, but you're also going to be at the Largo tomorrow night. Tickets available just $25. That's not sold out, right? So we can still plug that? People can still get tickets?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah, you can still plug tickets. Yeah, it's funny. My career is totally backwards. I got a TV show, and now I get to perform at Largo. This is not the way things are supposed to work.
How are you playing such a big house?
How am I playing such a big... Exactly. Look like at this TV show.
You had the benefit of debuting your show just ahead of a presidential election, which gave you nonstop stuff to comment on. Is it going to be a little harder going back now that that's all behind you and now we're kind of mellowing out into just regular administration stuff?
No, not for me, really, because my career sort of picked up once we started to have Barack Obama. Like, I wrote my solo show, The W. Kamau Bell Curve, Ending Racism, in about an hour. In like October of 2007, when there was this idea that, hey, that Barack Obama guy, if he's lucky, one day he could be vice president.
Yeah.
If he's real lucky. And so I've always sort of, my career has benefited from him being around. So I'm happy to have him around and keep going.
I remember the conversation of will people even vote for a black president?
Mm-hmm. I know.
For a long time. And a lot of people said no.
Yeah. They will if he's running against a Mormon president. What's weirder, blacks or Mormons? America has decided. Mormons are weirder than blacks.
Well, they do have magic underwear.
Yeah, exactly. So
what are you going to say?
You are, you're a crazy Northern California liberal. We all know that. But you also have been critical of the president, which I appreciate because I think that's important to kind of be, kind of be fair on both sides. You can't agree with everything the guy says just because you voted for him.
No. And I mean, I also couldn't return to the Bay Area if I wasn't critical of him sometimes. No, I mean, I feel like the whole choice between him and Romney, we get a lot of my progressive friends think it's not the choice of who's the best president. It's who's the best president available.
Right.
And we had Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. I feel like this is The Godfather 3 a good movie? It's all right. Is it better than Weekend at Bernie's 2? Oh, yes. It's much better. I voted for Godfather 3 for president. That's how I looked at it.
All right. So who won't make the worst president is basically what you have
exactly.
to decide.
That's like,
I'm going to have to go with the black guy.
You are right, though, that the only choices we really have are the guys who choose to run who can be vetted to a point where they're electable. And that eliminates about 99% of the people in the country.
Yeah, the best people who are running for president are too short and too ugly. I mean, the best people who could be it, who would be like, I think until we take out the height requirement and the good-looking requirement, we're always going to get these same dudes.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if I misunderstood, but I would totally vote for Too Short for president.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, let me say that. I don't need any beef with Too Short, yes.
That would
too
be a
short,
party.
You have my vote. Too Short 2016.
All right, we have to take a break. W. Kamau Bell is here. You can follow him on Twitter at W. Kamau Bell or his show at Totally Biased FX. More in a moment after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. W. Kamau Bell, who has one of the best afros on television, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's performing at the Largo tomorrow night. You can still get tickets at largo-la.com for just $25 with special guest Kevin Avery. You're actually doing a little bit of a tour across the country right now, right, Kamau?
Yeah, it's the Kamau Mau Uprising. Yes, we're going across the country, 7 cities. In certain cities, not in L.A., if you bring a friend of a different race, you get in 2-for-1.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, that's very nice.
Not L.A., so, how come?
Not L.A. You don't want to get too many different race people. It's that could cause some problems.
Too dangerous.
It's too dangerous.
I know it's not the name of your current tour, but are you still trying to end racism out there on the road? Is that still one of your...
No, he did that in an hour.
Yeah, I did it. I like to let racism get a little worse and then end it again. So luckily right now, it's getting a little bit worse as each day goes by. I like to be like James Bond with it. Wait till it is the last possible moment and then come in and solve
and
the problem.
And swoop in and be the savior.
Yeah. Dun-dun-dun. Racism's over. Don't say the N-word. Dun-dun-dun.
I like it. That's our new national anthem. So you married a white woman.
That sounds like an accusation. Yes.
And it's a fact. How does that go over with some of the family in Alabama? Did that ever been a problem in your own life?
No, but I don't know if you know this. There's a lot of people in Alabama walking around with a little bit of white and black in them. That's kind of how they did it down there. So Alabama's fine with it. It's Northern California that sometimes has.
Oh, is that right?
Not Northern California. Like, my wife's family, I mean, really, the problem with us is not the fact that I was black. The problem with her family was that I was a broke comedian. Like, I think that was a way bigger problem than black. If my wife had gotten married to Chris Rock, they'd be like, yeah!
It's all good.
This is all working out. But unfamous comedian, I don't know if this is such a good idea.
Well, that would be, I mean, you'd be a little hesitant of that if you had a daughter that was dating a comedian that was just starting out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd be totally hesitant. Yeah. No, I was on their side. I was like, look, I understand.
You're right.
You gotta, no, good you think you're disappointed in me. Imagine how I feel. I've known me for a lot longer.
But yeah, tell me about your little mixed race baby too.
Yeah, we got a mixed race baby. Get one of those. I recommend everybody pick up a mixed race baby.
Where do I do that exactly?
Well, there's lots of ways to do it. Okay. You could marry a person of a different race than you, or you could just get one.
Just get one
on the black market.
I see.
No, it's cool having a mixed race baby. It's the funny thing is when she came out super white looking. So white that my brother-in-law was like, dude.
We
gotta have a talk.
Did you look at her and go, hey?
Hey,
seriously, let me know.
What's going on here? The funny thing about having a mixed race baby is that we live in a part of New York where there's a lot of other mixed race babies. When you go to the park, none of the mixed race kids look like their parents, but they all kind of look like each other. You know what I mean? It's like a bunch of Lenny Kravitzes walking around. But yeah, she came out super white, which I wasn't upset. I was like, cool, I have a double agent. She can tell me what white people think about when I leave the room. It's not good, Dan. It's not good.
Mixed race babies are easily the cutest, too, by the way. I think most people want to have a mixed race baby, but just don't plan ahead accordingly.
they don't have the anger from their family. Yeah, it's a mixed race baby. They are super cute. And it's funny because people are always looking at my daughter like, oh, she's so cute. And I do that weird parent thing like, yes, I know. We did this on purpose.
Right.
I picked out the exact sperm that would make her look this way. Yes, I was.
Now you said she was born super white. Is she still super white?
No, she's getting a little bit darker as each day goes by.
Bye-bye, double agent.
Yeah. So now I don't know where color's going to settle, though. So I'm having fun charting her color progress by using the cover of Michael Jackson CDs in reverse chronological order.
Is she closer to Thriller or is she closer to Dangerous?
Well, she started out Dangerous, and now then like about 3 months in, she was like Bad.
Right.
And right now it's leaning towards Thriller. Okay. But we're never going to make Off the Wall. I'm not even hoping for that.
That's awesome.
But she's also, it's funny that she's at this weird point now because of how she looks, how my wife looks, and how I look, where if I hold her, she looks white. But if my wife holds her, she looks black.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
She's like a broken chameleon.
She never looks at home.
You're doing it the wrong way, baby. You're doing it the wrong way.
Oh, my gosh. All right. W. Kamau Bell is here. We're almost out of time. Largo tomorrow night. And then what can you tell us? What are you plotting in your brilliant brain about the comeback of your show on FX on January 17th? Do you have anything new you're going to come out of the gate with on that first show, or what do you know?
You know, I think I feel like the first few episodes were like an experiment, and now we're just trying to get better at sort of figuring it out. I think the Man on the Street pieces are what people seem to really dig. So I think we're going to try to figure out a way to sort of go into more interesting places and try to figure out a way to sort of get in front of lots of different people. So
tell me if I'm wrong about this. When I have seen your show, and I could be completely wrong, the impression I get from a lot of these, especially not, no offense intended, but not high profile shows. I mean, you're not the Tonight Show or anything like that. Is that they drag people off the street to come see these shows, and they don't even know what they are. But your audience, for some reason, seems like they're kind of really in tune with you already. It seems like you've already have kind of developed a crowd. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's sort of surprising me too. I was afraid because I've been in a lot of TV tapings where it's like, oh, they just got, it's like a bus of old people was hijacked and brought here.
Just waiting to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Let this guy entertain you for a while.
Are you terminally ill and want to laugh on the way out? Then come to this TV taping. No, but I think I think because there's not a lot of black faces on TV in the late night arena. Also because Chris Rock is involved. Also, I mean, not to toot my own horn, I had a little bit of a following.
Sure.
So I think I was like a little bit of a punk rock band, you know, and so people are coming out to see it, and we have developed a really cool audience out there. I mean, I have a really diverse audience. It looks like it's a lot of different types of people, and you know, and they're excited about the show. So excited that I'm like, man, we better make sure this is good.
And they're laughing at the right parts too, because you do some pretty smart stuff that not every audience would get, but your audience seems to be right there with you, which I think it must make you feel great.
I was weird. What I really noticed that is after the election, I was doing a joke about Nate Silver, and I threw up a picture about Nate Silver, and people clapped at the sight of Nate Silver. And I was like, I people know what he looks like? Like, it was just this weird, like, I didn't know what he looked like until we pulled that picture up this morning. Like, you know, so this, I like it when the audience is smarter than me. That really helps the show.
All right, just to prove the theory, Kevin, you know who Nate Silver is,
I don't. Oh, see, that's the point. There you go. Nate's getting smarter people in his crowd then. That's great. He's that crazy pollster who was 50 for 50 on how all the states were going to go in the election. He called every – practically down to the county, he called how people were going to vote in this election. So he's like the Messiah now. Everybody wants to know who's going to win the Super Bowl. You know,
he started out as a baseball guy, like doing the sabermetric stuff. And then he got – and he went into politics because it's way easier to call politics. and he's the guy who predicted the election down to every state, which was cool. And so,
yeah, he's
why don't we just ask him next time? We could skip that 2 years.
No, that's exactly what the point is. Like, why are we spending all this money? Right. Like, right now we're going over the financial cliff. Yeah, I think the election is what put us over the financial cliff. Maybe spending $2 billion to decide a thing that everybody's like, no, I knew what I liked from the beginning.
That's a great point. All right, Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell returns on FX on January the 17th. See him on stage at the Largo tomorrow night with special guest Kevin Avery. I hope this is not the last time we see you, Mr. Bell. I hope you come back. We really enjoyed it. Thank you.
I'm not leaving.
About a half an hour away or so from your chance to win tickets to the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows this weekend. And one of the bands that you're going to be seeing from the pit and have backstage passes for is called Imagine Dragons. They are going to be in our studio next half hour. That's coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Dr. Drew Pinsky. How are you, my friend?
Dean, it's so good to have you back.
Yes, I guess I haven't talked to you in a while because I was out recovering from surgery. It's great to talk to you. I hope I'll see you in person this weekend at the shows, right?
You will. You sound great, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's good to be back. Listen, we got a couple things we want to talk to you about like we do. We were very concerned when Frankie Muniz ended up being taken to the hospital the other day for something that's called a mini stroke. At the time, he was 26. He's since had a birthday. I don't want to start thinking about having to have a stroke if I'm 26 years old. What the hell's going on, Doc?
Yeah, that is crazy. And, some of the publications out there are saying that the incidence of unexplained, what are called transient ischemic events. Ischemic means just a reduction of blood supply. So transient meaning it goes away quickly. It's only transient. Ischemic event or attack to the brain. That's for some reason a blood vessel, an artery, to the brain is cut off. Usually that's in old people. It's caused by narrowing of the arteries from high cholesterol and high blood pressure over years, or it's caused by a clot that migrates from somewhere else, like the heart. Now, what's weird about that, let me put it this way, every piece of press I've read about what happened to him seems like BS to me. It's not
really?
Yes, it's not explaining what happened. He had diminished vision, darkening of vision in one eye, and then abnormal speech. Those are two entirely different regions of the brain and have to be explained before we can understand what happened here. Typically, two disparate regions like that is caused by a blood clot migrating. And in somebody his age, that would be something called a patent foramen ovale, where blood clots often come out of our legs and are screened out by our lungs. But if you have a little hole between the atria of your heart, it can go from one side to the other, from the right to the left, and then migrate to your brain. I think that's what's happening here. No one, it seems to me, has properly explained this. A mini stroke would be a blood vessel spasm or problem in one distribution, but in two entirely distributions of the brain, that has to be explained.
And Frankie Muniz, for folks who don't recognize the name, because he's kind of been a little lower profile lately, he was Malcolm in the Middle. He was a little kid who was the star of that show for a long time. And then, of course, he's Cody Banks at the movies. And now I guess he's spending his time as a rock drummer. And he looks like he's in super good shape. He looks young and healthy and active. He doesn't look like the kind of guy you would expect something like this. Or is that a dumb thing to say because blood clots can happen to anyone?
No, it absolutely shouldn't be happening to him. That's why I'm saying it. Although there are such things as unexplained mini strokes, not in two different distributions in the brain. This has to be explained. And if he's not getting a proper workup, I'm really worried about this guy. He could have a big clot move one of these days. So anyway, anybody, if you have neurological symptoms, get it checked out. The other thing that can do this, frankly, is multiple sclerosis can do these kinds of funny.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So that should have showed up in the MRI. So, but anyway, but the point being is this needs to be further evaluated. Frankie's a great guy. I've met him a few times. I hope he's getting proper care.
All right. Thing number two, and I apologize that I missed the special, but the internet was all abuzz. This past weekend was the World AIDS Day, December 1st every year. The nation, you know, our nation in particular turns its attention to, hey, where are we in the war on AIDS? And I guess, were you part of this MTV special called I'm Positive, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, I produced it. It's a show.
Man.
Yeah, Lo Bosworth from The Hills came to me and said, you know, I've got a friend with HIV and these people are living for decades with this, and I've started talking to my friends with this about how do you have sex, how do you date, how do you live your life, because you live the normal lifespan now with HIV. And
right.
We thought, wow, what a great story to tell. you know, we've told the stories of young people dealing with kids and teen mom and young people dealing with, you know, Loveline was about dealing with relationships, and why not deal with what is it like to deal with HIV? And we told the story of three amazing young kids, and the White House got wind of this and called us into the White House last week.
Did you think you were in trouble?
I did. I was going to the principal's office. The Supreme Wait. Principal's office.
Did you go to the White House, Doctor?
We did, and we were sort of part of a panel in the executive offices with the Secretary of Health and Human Resources and the Surgeon General and all kinds
did
of people.
Did you get spanked?
Well, they had this paddle on the wall saying, for those who misbehave. They didn't pull it down for me.
Okay, good. Now, are we at the point, though, where people think, well, you don't die from AIDS anymore, so who needs safe sex? It's just like any other STD. I mean, is that the danger here because of the good news of how well these drugs are working?
Yes. The extraordinary thing about HIV right now is it has become sort of young people deal with it rather casually. I mean, it's very serious. Everyone understands it. But the young people seem to understand that it's not a death sentence, although it certainly was when I was a resident and early in practice.
Right.
When people had their first pneumocystis pneumonia, I would sit them down and say, you have 6 months to live, and I was never wrong. Now, you put them early on medication, and they live decades. Presumably, they'll live a completely normal lifespan. And, yeah, people are much more casual about it. They've sort of taken their eye off the target, and there's 1.2 million people with HIV in this country, and that pool is going to grow. And you may come in contact with somebody like that, and you've got to understand, reduce the stigma. You have to understand that there's no potential for contact, for transmission, household contact. And these people have somewhat normal sex lives. And what do you need to do to reduce that risk?
Right. How have we made so much incredible progress on HIV and something like cancer? It just seems like we're in as bad a spot as we were 30 years ago.
Cancer is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different diseases. People don't understand that. HIV is unprecedented in the history of medicine. I mean, it took us thousands of years to deal with syphilis. HIV, within 30 years, we identified a syndrome, found a causative agent, found ways to prevent it, found ways to treat it, and now are developing vaccines for it. It's unprecedented in the history of medicine. Cancer, you got to remember, there's no one cancer the way there is the one HIV that causes one illness.
What's the biggest misconception about HIV?
The biggest misconception, I think, still is that it's a death sentence. And these days, you know, you can reduce viral loads down to zero. So people are, you know, you can reduce the risk of them transmitting to somebody just with reducing their viral loads to 96%.
Wow.
Effectively, watch these keys. I hope they re-air the schedule, the special. It was extraordinary. These people live normal, full lives. I mean, they've got a special burden, and they have things they have to do, and they have to disclose to people, but it's a normal life.
I am going to have unprotected sex with the next 10 hot chicks I see, just because now what's the downside?
Less risk than having your kidney taken out.
I think that's what Dr. Drew's message was.
I think so. All right, last thing before you go real quick. I'm very excited. We had your friend Adam Carolla on yesterday. You guys are back together on stage tonight, right, at the Canyon Club.
We're going to be at the Canyon Club and then in Bakersfield on Friday. Yes, oh my God. And then we're going to start doing some podcasts together.
Oh, I think that's great. It's awesome to have you two back together again. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Drew. Loveline airs Sunday through Thursday, 10 to midnight here on K-Rock. And, of course, weeknights at 9 on HLN. Dr. Drew, look forward to seeing you this weekend, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
The band is called Imagine Dragons. They join us in studio coming up next year on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, dude?
I got more than the showbiz beat.
What do you got?
Crabs.
Huh?
Crabs.
You have crabs?
Oh. We should have kept Dr. Drew on the line.
But besides that, I've also got the Tarantino 20 box set. I almost said Quarantino because it's Quentin Tarantino. His friends call him Quarantino.
They don't.
You guys don't know because you're not in the Hollywood community.
Nobody calls him that.
But Quarantino has released Tarantino 20 box set. These are 8 films that are really an excellent selection that sort of display Quentin's talents and filmmaking over the past 20 years. Here are the films that are released in the box set: Reservoir Dogs, True Romance, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2, Death Proof, and Inglourious Bastards. That's a good lineup right there. If you're a Tarantino fan or you know someone is, this will make a great Christmas gift, even if you don't like them yourself. It's available now in stores. We have 2 of them to give away right now, but I'm not just going to give them away. I want to give them to a real fan, someone who appreciates it. You get the 8 films, but you also get 2 discs of 5 hours of all-new bonus material as well. So if you are a Tarantino fan, this would be a question that you will probably know. Most of us were introduced to Quentin Tarantino with his 1992 crime film, Reservoir Dogs. That's where we really took notice of Quentin. Great film.
was hard to get going, as many independent films are, get off the ground. But when one of the stars of the film read the script and loved it so much, he agreed to be one of the producers. That's what set the ball rolling. So one of the stars who appeared in the film was one of the first people to read it and signed on as a producer. They were able to raise $1.5 million in order to get that movie made with his assistance. Which actor in the film also acted as co-producer of Reservoir Dogs? If you know the answer, call 1-800-520-1067.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
It was not Casey, nor was it the Sunshine Band. They didn't like the script initially when they read
didn't.
It.
They turned
passed.
It down?
They were gonna, it was going to star Casey and the Sunshine Band originally.
Hmm.
But
it would have been a very different movie.
It would have been. Okay, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? They are making the next Sin City movie.
All right.
Which is good news.
Yeah, that was great.
Sadly, they can't make it with Michael Clark Duncan. Because, of course, he passed away. So the Hollywood Reporter reports today that the film is on schedule, but they had to recast his role. And it looks like Dennis Haysbert will be playing the character played by Michael Duncan in the original Sin City movie. You know Dennis Haysbert. He was in Major League.
24.
He was the president.
He was the president 24. He's the voice of Allstate Insurance on those commercials as well.
Mm-hmm.
Talented guy.
Good actor, yeah.
Good actor. Also in the cast, Mickey Rourke, Jessica Alba, Jamie King, and Rosario Dawson all return.
All right.
Robert Rodriguez is directing yet again, and it is currently shooting in Austin, Texas. So we got that going for us.
Can't wait
for that. Yeah. I like that first one a lot.
Me too.
What is the greatest hip-hop song of all time? Rolling Stone asked that question of its readers, and they believe they've come up with the answer. The Message by Grandmaster Flash. And
too soon?
No, that was good.
Too soon?
No.
I'll wait.
Why wait for your cue when you can just decide for yourself when to play it?
Okay, go ahead.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
Full list of 50 top hip-hop songs of all time will be revealed online and in the magazine on December the 7th. That would be tomorrow. You can check it all out.
It is funny, Ralph, when you brought this story up earlier today, the song that instantly popped into Kevin's head in my head at the same time was California Love is the greatest hip-hop song of all time.
Yeah.
And I guess we just weren't going back far enough.
You guys are
the
West
historical
Coast, man.
Yeah, we are West Coast.
You're West Coast.
That's us.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it is.
I'm East Coast, man. We got a beef.
That didn't even make the top 10 on the Rolling Stone list, California Love, which I think is questionable.
Yeah, well, why don't we sit outside? I'll put a cap in your ass.
And by the way,
we'll drive by your house there, and we'll figure this out, why don't we?
Where's this song on the hip hop greatest hip hop songs of all time?
Balls, 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 balls.
Not even in the top 20.
You know, you're making little jokes, little comedy, and that's fine. But more importantly,
that ball song is good.
Where's Average Homeboy? An actual rap song, a real rap song. I haven't seen the complete list because, as I mentioned, it comes out tomorrow, the top 50 online and in the magazine. Top 10 are now on the internet, but I don't see any indication anywhere that Average Homeboy is on the list.
I'm not the typical rapper that you'll meet. I don't live in a box, nor was I raised on the street. I get up every morning and make my own bed. I'm down to earth. I don't have a big head.
Right. Sounds like the microphone's in the very next room.
You don't know, man.
He's yelling through the door.
Because that's old school. That's why.
That's bad. That's why.
He's the best. You know how hard it is to rap offbeat? Anybody can
yes,
hit.
Yes, I can do that.
Anybody can hit the rhymes on the beat, but to do an entire song and just be a little before or a little after the downbeat.
100% of the time.
Really difficult.
Yeah. I need to be warned ahead of time if I'm going to get blazed, Ralph. I was not prepared for it mentally today.
You got blazed, man.
For enjoyment, I like to shoot some hoops, but not until I eat all my Fruit Loops.
That's right. You got to eat all your Fruit Loops before you shoot some hoops.
I so want success for Denny Blaze.
He's got it. He's got success.
He does know.
Well,
I'm not sure.
He's blazing hazing right there.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Cody was the first person who got through with the correct answer. Cody?
Yeah. Good morning,
morning! What star of Reservoir Dogs read the script and agreed to come on as a producer and help raise the money to get that film made?
I believe it is Harvey Mother Effin' Keitel.
It was indeed Harvey Mother Effin' Keitel.
Are you drunk right now, Cody?
Say again, sir?
Are you drunk?
No, but I would like to be.
Okay.
Define drunk, I think, is what Cody's asking. Hold on, Cody. We're going to give you all the details. You just won that Tarantino 20 box set. Also, congratulations to David, who also will be getting those Blu-rays as well. I'm like Santa Claus. That's
how
I look at myself.
I think that's how people look at you as well.
I bring presents to all the good little boys and girls. Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter Buck is 56 years old today. Of course, guitarist for R.E.M.
Maybe their greatest song.
Shine in my car brings me lots of joy.
Yeah. You got to keep going now.
I guess I'm just
what?
An average homeboy.
Yeah.
Average homeboy. Average homeboy.
Come on. That's not in the greatest hip-hop songs ever. David Lovering of the Pixies is 51, and Judd Apatow, who brought us the 40-year-old virgin, knocked up and soon to be seen. This is 40. He is 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We should get those guys in, huh?
Nah, I hear they're not a very good interview.
Nah.
They're dicks.
That's what I wait. Yeah, hold on. Imagine Dragons is here right now on the Kevin DeBee Show. What?
Yeah.
That is their song called It's Time here on the world famous K-Rock, which, by the way, if you look at the list of the most streamed tracks on Spotify last week, that song right there was number 7, right between Flo Rida and Gangnam Style. So way to go, you guys.
We've arrived.
Yeah, you have arrived
Flo
officially.
Rida.
Do you? I always wanted to ask this, and I never think of it when we have bands in. With Spotify, it doesn't cost me anything to go on there and stream your music. Do you guys get paid from that if I'm listening to it on Spotify?
Well, I guess yes.
We've heard that it's
like for every 32 spins that song gets, we get like a penny.
All right.
Yeah, I think is about how it works out.
So our penny jar is filling up pretty quick.
So you made like almost a dime off of it.
Yeah. No, I did the math once. I think we got like $32 and then like point something said.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's great to have you guys back here at K-Rock. Of course, you played the Red Bull Sound Space, a couple of months ago or
yes.
something like that, maybe 6 weeks, something like that. And that's that was super fun having you in the building. But now we get a chance to actually talk to you. So welcome. What a year 2012 has been for y'all. Can you even believe this is happening?
Honestly, I feel like all of us have a – if you could see us – you know, well, actually, you can't see us. There's a haze over all our eyes. But I think that this year has just been, it feels like a dream a bit. I don't know. I feel like I've just been living in a strange, long dream.
It's early for us, remember.
Sure.
Yeah, okay,
right.
That's true, too.
Well, the band has been around for, three years, maybe, something like that? Is that about 3-4 years, maybe?
Yeah, 3-4 years.
Okay, and do you feel like it was, you know, building, a little better every year? Or do you feel like it just kind of, where you were nowhere and then it just exploded?
It did, I think for us it does feel a little more organic just because it has been it's been nonstop touring for 4 years. So we really felt from our perspective that it was kind of an organic build and then it kind of got to a tipping point. But yeah, on the same note, the tipping point has just been so intense too that it's a little bit of both, I think.
When you're starting and you're beginning in your band and you're starting to look down the road, I mean, do you have a concept of where it's going to go? Do you think 10, 15 years from now, maybe?
Ooh, scary to think in those terms. We get freaked out.
Yeah, you get freaked out by that?
I think it's so hard.
Well, when Bean and I started this job at K-Rock, I remember both of us going, we're going to get fired. But we'll be able to put it on our resume that we worked at K-Rock for like 4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all we could consider. Like, that was it.
So maybe you thought, hey, if we could just play that gig, that club or something, we'll consider it a success.
No, we really, actually, we've finally decided lately. It's funny you ask this because lately we decided that we had to stop trying to reach for the future because it's all you get in this habit of always being like, when we do this, then we'll be happy.
Right.
When we do this, then we've made, you know, we're really just trying to take it all in right now. I think we're just like, you know what, where we're at right now is amazing. Look what's going on, you know, and we're really just trying to take it all in. And, you know, it makes all those, there's just been so many rough, you know, any musician who's been through the 4 year build up, it's not all, you know, glory and flowers. It's a lot.
Oh, there were gigs for 5 people, yeah, right? That happened.
2 people, the bartender and your mom, you know.
Sweet. And your mom didn't like it.
No, your mom's like, what is this trash?
And she's like going over to the bartender afterward, like, what did you think of it? Did you like it?
Boo!
Your mom's a hipster.
This is Imagine Dragons here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And for folks who maybe don't know the story a little bit, maybe you guys consider it boring, but I'm always interested to find out how y'all met. Were y'all in different bands and kind of knew each other from the scene, or you hook up in college, or what?
We hooked up in college.
And by hooked up, you know,
no, not at all. Yeah, yeah. Not what I mean.
No, that is the story. So, I mean, what are you talking about? No, these three guys, I'll let them tell their own story, actually.
Okay.
I met these two hoodlums, Ben and Daniel, at Berkeley. We were actually playing jazz together. We were, like, nerding out hardcore on jazz.
Yeah, we were in this five-guitar ensemble where you would play a Bill Evans solo, but arranged for five guitars.
Okay.
And take, like, these wild solos and, like, bore everyone to submission.
And this is the music Berkeley, not the hippie Berkeley, right?
Right, right, right.
Okay, gotcha.
In Boston.
All right,
two
so
E's.
You three all know each other, and then, yep. and then what happens?
I was just looking to start a band, and asked my buddy, I was looking for a guitarist, because that's just where I started, you know. I wanted somebody who I could just sit down with and kind of roll these melodies over with. And so, you know, my buddy said, I know this guitarist who just graduated from Berkeley. You should hit him up. I hit him up. We got in a room together, and we happened to have so many weird similarities with our influences and different things. And so we jammed, and it just really felt right. And right then and there, he called Ben, I think, first and said, Ben, I know you still have a semester left of Berkeley, but do you want to?
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't care.
Oh, really? But yeah, he said, "Move to Vegas right now. Let's start this band. Here's a demo." The demo was probably just terrible.
It was.
It was. Well,
what did you think of it?
It wasn't the music that inspired me to drop out of college and move out to Vegas.
What was it?
It was just dropping out.
You know, I knew this guy over here, Wayne, for a while now. We'd been playing music in school, and I just knew that if he was willing to get behind it. I trusted his musicianship and his taste enough that I'd kind of dropped everything and moved out there.
This sounds so professional.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And it's funny
because I was slowly killing myself at music school. So.
All right. You mentioned the organic way that the band has grown. It also sounds like it was kind of organic that you guys got together in a room and it's that undefinable chemistry where you go, yeah. Hey, this works. You know, no. We have the same sensibility and the same musical interests and it's a good fit.
It really did. I think that there was a real kind of moment where me and Wayne were in the room together and the chemistry was just palpable.
Oh.
And, no, but really,
are we still talking about music?
No, we're talking about hooking up in college.
No, but yeah, you know, it was a pretty it was a moment where we really sat down and we realized that both of us were extremely serious about music, that it was all that we'd ever done our entire lives. I mean, it was just a moment, you know, where we just knew that there was something special and we really wanted to take it seriously. So.
How many other people had you met up until that point looking to start a band?
None.
That was it. That was the first one.
That was it. It was my first love.
Well, you are spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
The band is in studio called Imagine Dragons here on KROQ. We have many more questions about the last 4 years and about this weekend. We'll talk about Acoustic Christmas. But before we take a break, let me remind everyone that you can see Imagine Dragons on stage at the San Manuel Indian Bingo Casino. That is going to be tonight. How'd you get hooked up with Garbage? Because that seems like a dream gig opening for that band.
I know. You know, we're all big fans of the 90s, and we're 90s children, so we definitely have followed them. And their newest record is awesome. And you know, so to have they just kind of reached out to
those
us.
Those are the higher powers that be.
Yeah.
And
the second that we heard that it was Garbage, we were, you know, it was a no-brainer for us, I think. That you know, they're legends in a lot of respect.
And their live show is incredible, too. I mean, Shirley's one of the best front persons in rock. I mean, she's amazing.
And there needs to be more women like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like there's not enough of them in rock right now. So to see that and to have her just being empowered and, you know, it's really inspiring to me. So we're excited to play with them.
This show is worth the drive wherever you're listening right now. Tonight you can see Imagine Dragons with Garbage. 21 and up, please, for this only. Tickets are available from $25. Still available at Ticketmaster.com if you want to go see that. More with our guest, the Imagine Dragons, when we return right after this on the world-famous KROQ.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. Cue that, of course, Imagine Dragons and Radioactive. The guys are in the studio with us right now.
Hey.
Why is that song so good, you guys? Wow. Right?
Oh, sometimes accents happen. Yeah.
Sometimes you get lucky.
Congratulations to Andrew Gutierrez from Fullerton. Just won tickets for both nights of the 23rd annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas. There's going to be pit tickets and backstage passes. So when Imagine Dragons is on stage early on night two, you have to wave to Andrew. What up? You know,
good old Andy.
Right there in the pit. thank you, by the way. I know we'll see you again this weekend, but thank you in advance for being available and being on the bill.
Of course.
On, on this weekend, because we're so excited to have you guys there.
I mean, it's a no-brainer, you know, to be a part of it, to be, you know, I think that I think you grow up as a kid thinking K-Rock, you know what I mean, and playing the festival for this year. I mean, we're just blown away.
You like to watch other bands you were telling us during this song?
Totally, yeah. There's so many. The lineup is just ridiculous, especially for this year. I was looking for the 2 days. It's just, I don't know. I mean, between Jack White and the Killers, and, you know, it's cool because Killers are from our hometown.
That's right.
Who did you
Fun, Neon yeah. Trees, Fun. M83, Passion Pit. Yep. I mean, it's going to be a night.
Who are those bands? What are you talking about? Are those band names?
Well, you guys, you mentioned the Killers. They famously have kept Las Vegas as their home base. Same deal for you guys? Will you stay there?
Born, raised, you know, I'll stay there forever. I feel like there's so few people that were actually born in Vegas, you know. Everybody's kind of a transplant.
Sure.
But, I was, you know, bathed in the Bellagio fountains.
Wow.
I'll live there forever.
I think I would die if I stayed there for more than 3 days at a time.
I know. That's the thing is, if you're not like used, if you're not in it all the time, then you get there and you're like, wah!
Yeah, you go crazy. You
know? Yeah, but...
I have to literally get on a plane to live.
I think a lot of people feel that way. Yeah.
What's Vegas like as a music scene?
It's actually really on like the rise right now. You know, the whole art scene has had kind of a revival there. It's funny because Vegas has like no culture. I always tell people it's like void of culture that it kind of it's its own culture.
Well, it's sort of made up culture. It seems like with all the casinos.
It
and
is,
stuff.
Yeah. But now for the first time, they're kind of bringing in kind of this new health, like green, forward thinking vibe. They're remodeling downtown and bringing in like dog parks and yoga places, and you know, it's a lot of mom and pop shops. So it's they're kind of doing this new thing, and bands are starting to like be more prevalent. There's a big First Friday event. I mean, it's really starting to
plus you can see Celine Dion whenever you want.
That's what I was going to say, actually. That's the defining point. So
Imagine Dragons here in the studio on the world famous K-Rock again. The show is going to be at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino tonight, opening up for the band Garbage. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster.com, and you should, as cheap as $25, by the way. Wow. Tell me about this. As we talked about the way the band has exploded kind of slowly over the last 4 years. What does it do to you when you get the call like, hey, we want to do one of your songs on Glee, or hey, we want to use this song in a commercial, or hey, we want to use this song in a movie? I mean, yeah. Is that something you guys had a conversation about, whether you wanted to do it or not, or is it all thumbs up, that's nothing but great?
I think our attitude towards that has always just been, if something has a positive message behind it, if it's something that, you know, we feel, you know, we don't want to be a part of something, obviously, that we don't believe in or agree with. But when something has a positive message, and it's really, to us, more, it's a chance for people who maybe don't listen to alternative music to be exposed to it, which I think is really cool. I think that right now, you know, there's this new movement, and we were just talking about that. There's this new movement of kind of, you know, rock and bands, and it's starting to revive. People want to know a rock band and buy a record and, you know, have it on vinyl. And so, you know, we saw it as an opportunity, especially with Glee, for people who maybe don't listen to alternative music to listen to it, you know. And I've never understood a concept of being like, you know, we're too cool for people to listen to us.
A lot of bands like that. I mean, maybe not too cool, but just don't like the idea of it.
Yeah, I think, you know,
when you give it to Glee, do you look back on it and go, good experience, bad experience?
I think all of us just feel like it was a good experience, okay. You know, for people to hear something, like I said, that maybe they wouldn't usually hear. And to have someone cover your music, you know, that's a flattering thing. And like I said, you know, there's a forward message behind it, which I think is cool too. So,
you guys are going to Europe next year?
Yeah, next year is, I think we, man, we're,
couple of times,
yeah, we're going to, in January, we're going just to do some promo stuff, and then we're going back for the full tour in, April is it? March and April?
Wow.
Yeah.
We do the U.S. tour in February and March, and then we head right out to Europe, and I didn't even know people knew us over there, and we went and did this tour, and the whole thing was sold out, and it was just so cool to see people in Germany and, like, you know, Paris and Amsterdam. We sang our song Amsterdam in Amsterdam, which I never thought that would happen. You know? But,
you see them singing your songs? Does that kind of shock you?
Very shocking. Yeah. Especially because the album hasn't dropped there yet. So I was kind of like, where's everybody getting it? How is everybody, like, YouTube?
Well, they
like,
steal your music.
LimeWire, like, you know. But whatever, you know, however they're getting it.
I have a lucrative business online. That's how they got it.
That's right. BitTorrent.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys got no complaints. Besides having the flu and almost dying, besides that, it sounds like this has been a killer year.
Get your flu shot. I'm serious.
2013 is looking better, and things are all good for Imagine Dragons. And there's already talk of yet another EP, right, that you guys are talking about.
You know, we're constantly writing and working on things. We just kind of started to do a little I don't even know if we're allowed to.
Aren't you in charge of what you're
working? We're working on something special that will be coming out pretty soon. But
no, be vaguer. Be vaguer.
Yeah.
It's jazz. I'll just say it.
It's a jazz album.
It's a jazz album.
Yeah. Of just it's Christmas jazz.
Smooth jazz. Smooth
That's
jazz.
What the world's been looking for.
Christmas
All right.
jazz.
Well, we are out of time, but God, so fun to meet you guys, and I know we'll see you again this weekend, but thank you so much for stopping by today. Have fun tonight. Say hello to our little friends in Garbage, if you
All
would,
right.
for us.
We will.
And we'll see you this weekend.
All right.
And thanks for everything, man.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, thanks for having us, man.
106.7 K-Rock, it's K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Fire people!
Yes.
Fire people!
Yes.
Fire people!
Yes.
Fire people!
Yes.
Hadn't heard from the crowd today, but I guess they have spoken. Nothing we can do against that. I mean,
they've been standing by for their opening.
Ralph is here, time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat now on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you get a chance to hear any of that Imagine Dragons? What nice guys they are.
Couple of dicks.
They're not.
Really? I thought they were super nice.
A pair of dicks.
Not at all.
Enjoyed meeting them very
Couldn't
much.
Couldn't be more obnoxious.
Very talented band.
Oh. Didn't hear any of it, did you?
They trashed the office when they came in.
I didn't do that. Any of that.
No, they were the nicest guys we've ever had in here, actually.
Yeah. Showbiz news. This makes me furious. This makes me insane.
Uh-oh.
I'm angry, I'm mad, and I'm upset.
Okay.
TBS. TBS has a show called Who is the King of the Nerds? It's going to be a reality competition show debuting in mid-January. Who is the King of the Nerds?
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Hosted by the stars of the movie Revenge of the Nerds, Robert Carradine and Curtis Armstrong. It's going to be a competition between 11 geeks who will compete in team contests, including a superhero debate, a nerd anthem contest, and then individual challenges. Winner gets a $100,000 prize.
Might I just suggest that you're lucky to not be involved in that?
Why? Are you kidding me?
You have studied for it your whole life.
I would crush in this game.
Granted.
The one time they finally get ready to put a game show on air that I can crush in,
right.
I can't participate.
I think it's probably better for you that not happens.
It would be great for me if it could happen, but I can't do it. I can't go on it.
Why?
Well, they just announced the panel of judges today.
Okay.
George Takei.
Nice.
Oh, my. You've won. Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith. They're going to be the judges.
So I can't. Takes you right out of the competition.
Can't really get on there. There'd be some sort of collusion going on, I think, if I joined the participation.
But that's too bad.
I hope Hardwick's in the running, though. He's got to compete, right?
I don't think...
The Nerdist himself, for God's sake?
Yeah. Smith's friends with him, too. I don't think they'd
Oh,
yeah,
you're probably right. Yeah.
I'll bet there are way bigger nerds than Chris Hardwick and Ralph and people. I bet there are.
Actually, there are.
Yeah.
We pale in comparison to some folks. You know what the problem is? As you get a life,
yes,
your nerd time gets cut down considerably. You don't really get a chance to nerd out as much as you used to. So there's guys now who are on the peak of their game, whereas I'm Steve Nash. That's who I am. I'm on the sidelines. I got an injury. I may be back for the playoffs. I may be not.
Got a team counting on you.
Team's counting on me, but I'm an old man. I've lost some skills, and I just don't know if I can compete at that level anymore.
Yeah, you're right, because those other nerds, they didn't meet a woman and get married and then have a child. They skipped all of that.
Or have a career or a home or anything.
Right.
They have a basement, and they've got their comic books and their DVR, and that's all they need. And their video games, and they just win.
Would kick your ass.
Yeah, it's true.
You'd go on that show and get knocked out the first week.
Oh, right. Okay.
That would
maybe
be awesome.
I'm beyond my peak. Is that what you're saying? And I'm out of my prime of geekdom? Is that what you're saying?
But you're still Steve Nash. Still got some skills.
People still paying for me to come and show up.
That's all.
All right, let's talk about other showbiz news. We have just kicked off a firestorm of controversy today.
What?
With this Rolling Stone list.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
As I mentioned a couple times during the show today, Rolling Stone has released their list of the top 50 hip-hop songs of all time. Rapper's Delight is on there at number 2. Number 1, this is the thing that's got a lot of people chafing at the bit. I happen to agree with it. It's Grandmaster Flash and the Furious 5 with The Message.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes.
sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Now, what's the controversy? What are people complaining
about?
Well,
everybody's got their song.
Their number one song.
That they would pick. But now it's become like an East Coast, West Coast feud, and people saying, oh, it's an East Coast bias list, and you're one of them. And I'm like, well, you know, I am an East Coast guy, but I've been living out on the West Coast for a long time. I really don't have the bias. And as people threaten it, there's drive-bys going on.
Yeah.
You'll
meet here we go. It's on. Race war.
Nothing to do with race at all.
Race war's on, everybody.
No, it's
going down.
No.
It's going down. No. Race war. But, come on. Race war.
People tell me to say hello to Tupac and things like that. I don't know.
That's code. That's not what
you
want
to
hear.
A hip-hop conversation. He's got all of a sudden, there has to be danger involved.
Hmm. Now, I have a question about this list, and I've only seen the top 10 as you have, Ralph. And it's, you know, Eric B. and Rakim is in there, and Public Enemy, and NWA, and a lot of the greats. But I'd like to say there's a hip-hop voice that is not represented in this Rolling Stone list. And I present to you.
No, no, no.
Wing.
No, nonsense.
Good point.
Good
nonsense.
Point.
No, no, no. Nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, where the hell is Wing on this list, too?
Where's Teenagers Stop Spreading the Bullets, more importantly?
That's another great point.
That's
yeah.
true.
Where's
that? A seminal moment in hip-hop, R&B music, I think. I heard you guys were bitching about California Love.
Yeah, that's got to be in the top 10.
Should be in the top 10.
I think it's 41st on the
that's
list.
That's absurd.
That's what someone told
that's
me.
That's craziness.
41st on the list.
Dumb. I know it's super lightweight, and I know that he's not considered a great rapper, but Will Smith's Summertime, to me, is as classic as it gets for old school rap. That better be on the list.
I think you're by yourself on that one.
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of guys clamoring for more Will Smith rap acclaim.
Not sure he makes the top 10, but California
top 50.
Love.
He's got to be top 50, though.
Oh, come on. Of all time? Of all hip-hop rap songs?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Top 200, maybe.
Saying. It's like saying Katrina and the Waves should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, I like Walking on Sunshine. I listen to it on the radio. I'm not saying they should be, you know, the Songwriters Hall of Fame or anything. Yeah, just saying. This makes me angry. This makes me furious. Two wacky Australian DJs, radio DJs, called the hospital where Kate Middleton was being attended to with her her nausea issues regarding her pregnancy. And pretended to be Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
How dare you?
They called the King Edward the Seventh Hospital pretending to be the royals and got through to the medical staff that was treating Kate to get an update on her condition.
How dare you?
For radio yahoos to pretend to be people of acclaim in order to get through to important people and embarrass them publicly on the radio is unacceptable.
It's
on
illegal
any level.
And it's wrong.
That's
and
right.
It's wrong.
And
how dare you?
I am embarrassed to be part of the industry right now.
We know.
No Jack FM DJ has ever been caught falsely admitting to a crime as a hoax and then getting caught because someone recognized his voice and then had to do community service and had a TV movie loosely based on the incident made about it. At least we can say that.
Yeah, at least we got that.
We know this rule inside and out.
Yeah.
About the Kevin and Bean rule?
That rule?
We know that rule, do we?
France isn't too happy about it either.
No.
A bunch of stuff going on. And sad news yesterday. Legendary jazz musician Dave Brubeck passed away yesterday morning. Just one day short of his 92nd birthday. Of course, Kevin, you know, a huge, transcendent jazz musician. Take Five, this particular track. Crossed over from the jazz charts to the pop charts, making one of the biggest hits of 1959 from his album Time Out.
This should be one of the top 10 hip-hop songs of all time.
This is a great tune.
This is not a great tune.
It's a great tune. No. Imagine you got the top dropped on your 1958 Lincoln Continental and you just...
Nope. No, I'm in an elevator, and I'm going up to the dentist.
You're just cruising down.
I'm not happy about it.
You're cruising
and
down.
And you're praying that they'll put you under so you don't have to hear the rest of it.
Cruising down Route 66 on your way to the beach.
This is bad, but it's only going to get worse in the next 5 minutes.
You got a fiery redhead in the passenger seat.
Nope.
Got one of your unfiltered Lucky Strikes.
Nope.
Fired up in your hand.
I don't have any of those dreams.
Cruising down wearing your Ray-Ban Wayfarers.
Nope. None of that's happening.
For most of us, Ralph, Mad Men is fine as just a TV show. We don't want to live in it.
Mad Men's a lifestyle! That's good stuff. You know, Kevin, he was originally a rodeo roper.
What?
Dave Brubeck. His first love was the rodeo. But once his mother realized how much talent he had at the piano, she insisted he couldn't rope anything larger than a yearling because she didn't want him to hurt his fingers. And that has been your Dave Brubeck moment.
Is that true, first of all?
That's all absolutely true.
Okay.
He went from rodeo rider and rodeo roper to legendary jazz musician. And yes, he did. He did die.
Exciting story.
Today's celebrity birthday is Peter Buck of REM. He is 56 years old today. Drummer David Lovering of the Pixies turns 51. And Judd Apatow, director, writer, comic powerhouse. Created the 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, and soon his film, This Is 40, will be in theaters. He is 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, girls, tomorrow, Friday morning, we got the movie beat. We have Cousin Sal giving us his NFL picks. We have Harley in the studio from Epic Mealtime. And we have Steve-O as a guest on the program tomorrow.
Yeah, dude.
About killer karaoke, which we could not be more excited about. We originally thought it might be bad, but I love it.
Yep, we found out otherwise.
So we're going to talk to Steve-O tomorrow as well, and your chance to win tickets in the pit and backstage for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Tomorrow, of course, is Friday. The shows are Saturday. So
Friday.
running out of time. We'll see you tomorrow.